muck and sap, dirt and grime, leaves and pollen, and even bugs. Just a few things that can possibly damage your vehicle's paint over time, causing it to pit, fade, and oxidize, basically ruining your paint job. Quick and Clean Car Wash can help. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash also offers car wash packages. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Matt Walsh is the star of the hit documentary in theaters, Am I Racist? That documentary is now historically one of the top grossing documentaries of all time. I had the opportunity to sit down with Matt and talk about Am I Racist and some of his other work. Here's what it sounded like.
Matt Walsh, the star of Am I Racist. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Great to be here again.
As always, it's amazing to see you. So let's talk about...
No, I did this show like 7 years ago, right?
Really? It's been that long?
Yeah. You remember that?
Not at all. I feel like I've seen you since.
Yeah, probably.
Wow. Wow.
It was actually the first interview I ever did in my life.
Really?
Yeah. It was terrible. I was really bad.
Wow. Well, you've certainly improved in so many of your qualities, although the beard is... Did you have a beard at the time?
It was more like your sad excuse for a beard.
Right. That's
I've learned to hide my face since then.
Yeah.
The key to my success.
Actually, in this movie, it sort of is the key to your success, as it turns out. So let's talk about the origins of Am I Racist? So you make What is a Woman, the best documentary of the last 10 years with director Justin Folk. And then we're trying to figure out here at Daily Wire what you do next, and you come up with this. So where did this come from?
Well, we knew we wanted to explore... The first question is, like, what issue do you want to get into next? And it was pretty obvious we wanted to get into race and the anti-racism grift and DEI and all that stuff. And the next question is like, well, how do you approach it? And, of course, with What is a Woman, the whole kind of premise of the film is just me going around and asking very, very simple questions, remaining like a blank slate, not really skeptical, but also not believing anybody the whole time. I think we knew with this issue that strategy probably doesn't work as well. And we don't want to just do the same thing over again. So our idea with this was like, well, what if we start in the same place? I start by just asking questions. But rather than remaining a blank slate, if I just take everything I'm told and believe it uncritically and then try to put it into practice, and like, where will that take us? And so it was really, it made it fun but also challenging because we didn't, when we started making the film, we honestly didn't know where it would go or what the film would be in its final at the end.
I want to start this interview by playing a clip from the film Am I Racist, which, by the way, everybody should obviously go check out amiracist.com and pre-buy your tickets if you've not already, which you should have. But this is a clip from near the beginning of the film. Why don't you tee up the clip that we're about to play? This is sort of the very beginning of the film.
Yeah, this is very early on, and we discovered that, you know, there are these workshops that, I guess we asked ourselves, like, if I want to start this journey, where should I begin? Fortunately, there are a lot of DEI-certified experts out there offering their services for a fee, sometimes a quite handsome fee, and they have all kinds of workshops. And so we looked into these workshops, and one that we found was a workshop for your white grief to work through. If you as a white person feel grief and guilt over your privilege, which I, of course, do. I have a lot of grief all the time, a lot of guilt. I mean, I'm Catholic. I carry around a lot of guilt because, you know, as Catholics, we have a lot of Catholic guilt. So I figure this is a good place to start to kind of unpack, as they would say, a lot of that. And go into this workshop. We all sit around, as you'll see. It's like looks like an AA meeting, basically. A bunch of white people. There's a black woman who's the leader of the group instructing us. we were told when we first started, one of the rules is that if you're a white person in the group and you start to get emotional and cry, you can't cry in the group because white tears are manipulative. So there's a cry room that you can go to.
Even to the other white people?
Yes.
Wow.
They don't want to see your white tears. No white tears. We got into it, and I discovered as we were sitting in the group and talking about it and going around in circles and answering questions, I started to get pretty emotional. It was much heavier than I thought it was going to be, I guess. And so I had to leave to go to the cry room at one point. And while I was in the cry room, unfortunately, a couple of the people in the group realized who I was. They put two and two together. They talked to the other people in the group, told them who I really was. And this clip picks up with me reemerging from the cry room, drying my eyes off, and then this is what happened.
The white participants in the group feel that there's something in themselves that they have to overcome. When all that's being requested of you is that you be. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Sorry about that.
Oh, no problem. You good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Remind me of your name again.
Steven.
Steven? Yeah? Okay. Did you want to come up?
Come up?
Yeah. Do you want to come up and share anything?
Sure. What do you want me to share?
Whatever's on your mind.
I just want to know that, like, my physical safety and yours and everybody else's here is okay.
Why would your physical safety not be okay? Did I miss something?
I don't feel comfortable.
What? Can you guys catch me up to speed on what's going on here?
You don't need to be caught up. We're going to be silent.
Is it because I said I had 17 black friends? It might have been 15. It depends on how you count them.
I would really appreciate it if you left so that the people who actually want to be here and deserve to be here can get what they need.
I do want to be here.
Can you please leave?
I would like it if you left.
I'm trying to learn. I'm on this journey.
Come with me.
Well.
Thank you.
I didn't consent to be touched.
I'm not offering to touch you. I'm offering to walk you out. Will you walk with me and I'll answer your questions?
Okay. I'll admit it. My name's not Steven.
Mm.
Maybe you already knew that. My name is Matt Walsh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just was here on this journey that I'm just starting, but I see that I'm not wanted.
If you were on your journey, then you would have told us who you were, your real name, but you didn't.
Are you saying I needed a better disguise? Is that what you...
I don't know. Maybe. But you can figure that out as you walk out the door.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I really had the transformative experience myself. And my pronouns are he, him.
I did everything I could to fit in. I opened up. I was raw and emotional. I told them about my black friends. It was no use. They rejected me. And they called the police. My mere presence in the room caused them pain. I'll never be accepted if I look like this. If they know that I'm Matt Walsh, I'll always be an outsider. I need to go deeper undercover. A whole new identity. If I want to be an ally, I need to look like one. Like someone who is progressive, tolerant, enlightened. Let me think. Have I ever met anyone like that? Ah, yes. Yes, I have.
What is a woman?
Why do you ask that question?
Rated PG-13. Buy tickets now.
So.
That's the origin. That's the, like, the superhero origin story.
Yeah.
That's where the costume comes from, yeah.
And it is amazing. I mean, you were able to get into extraordinary spaces by wearing a man bun and some very thin-framed glasses.
Yeah. You wouldn't think it'd be enough, but it's sort of similar to what we experienced with What is a Woman when we were able to talk to people that we didn't think. We get the same question with What is a Woman? How did you get those people to talk to you? And The answer is it's kind of the same in both cases, that a lot of these people live in a bubble where they can't even imagine that anybody would ever try to challenge them or embarrass them or expose them in any way, because they've never been around that ever. They've never been around anyone who would actually do anything but fall to their knees in admiration of them. And so I think we were able to kind of take advantage of that sort of arrogance of these people.
How did you get all these people in the room with you? Apparently, I mean, we saw the budget. I know the budget. So it was not cheap to get many of these people in the room. There's a good living being made by DEI consultants.
Yeah, that's the answer right there. Most of the people we talked to were willing to perhaps even put their better judgment to the side if we just pay their fee. Which, of course, is funny because they also claim that they're fighting racism and they want to get the word out about that. But they'll only do it if you pay them. And so that's one thing we do in the film is we tell the audience very directly, like, this is how much this person charged us to talk to them. And you're going to see that some of the price tags are quite substantial.
For folks who don't actually understand how deep-rooted this is in American society, you know, I think most Americans, they look at this like, this is very fringy. And not that many people that I think normies know goes to a white guilt seminar where they weep about, you know, their exposure to white privilege and all of this sort of stuff. Most people are presumably not doing, as we'll see in another clip, a dinner party with Sarai Ralph. We'll get to that in a minute. But this does pervade all of American society. I mean, it's baked into law. It's baked into employment policies at a wide variety of companies. According to Kamala Harris, it's baked into her policies as would-be president. Equity is pervading all parts of the federal government. Maybe you can explain for a second, like, why Americans should really care about DEI. It's become a buzzword on the right, but for a lot of people, they don't necessarily understand what it is.
Yeah, well, I think the fact that most Americans aren't sitting around in a circle at a white grief seminar or going to a race to dinner event, that's sort of the point. That's why it matters, because most people are not true believers like this. They want nothing to do with this craziness. And yet, like, the people you see in the film are the ones who are coming up with these programs that are then foisted on normal Americans at their jobs. So maybe in your free time, you're not choosing to go to something like this. But the problem is that this stuff is brought to you in places where there's no reason why it would be there. The fact that you just want to work, you know, you're working a job has nothing to do with any of this. And yet you're being forced to, at the very least, listen to this sort of lecturing, if not actively affirm it in a lot of cases. So this is why we have to care about it, because we really have no choice. I wish we were in a position where we could look at some of these people in the film and say, total fringe, doesn't matter. What they say is totally irrelevant. I want to get to a point where it is irrelevant, but right now it's not.
All right, coming up, a little bit more, my friend Matt Walsh, this is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Redding's premier licensed legacy cultivator, exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors, freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragon.
Join us as we celebrate a milestone in American history, the 249th birthday of the United States Marine Corps. Mark your calendars for November 10th at the Wind River Event Center, where everyone is invited to honor the Marines in style. The celebration kicks off with a march to colors featuring the Jefferson Pipes and Drums as we pay tribute to our oldest and youngest Marines. This unforgettable evening includes a delicious dinner, birthday cake, and dancing. Tickets are just $45, and they're going fast, so secure yours. Visit ShastaMarines.com. That's ShastaMarines.com. Don't miss out on this special event. Tickets are just $45, and they're going fast, so secure yours. Visit ShastaMarines.com. Again, that's ShastaMarines.com. Don't miss out on this special event. We can't wait to celebrate with you on November 10th at the Wind River Event Center. See you there.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, we had the opportunity to sit down with Matt Walsh, star of the film Am I Racist, the hit documentary. Here's from what it sounded like.
So when you were preparing for the film, did you have to read a lot of the tomes from these people? One of the people who you get in the film is Robin DiAngelo, the author of White Fragility, which is one of the best-selling anti-racist books of the last 10 years. It sold hundreds of thousands of copies. It was used as sort of the guide for the pathetic white people during the race riots of 2020, during the George Floyd uprising. Did you have to read through a lot of this material in order to prep for the film?
There's only so much that I can subject myself to. I certainly listened to several lectures from these people. I did read Robin DiAngelo's book, White Fragility.
Truly an awful piece of...
It's horrific. Once you read one book, that's the other thing. It's like once you've read one of these books, you get the idea. It's always the same thing. It's the same ideas. All the people we talk to in the film, they all have the same central thesis, which is that white people are inherently racist and are the villains of history. And that's pretty much it. That's the idea. That's the starting point, right?
And the way they define racism is that they are participants in a system that perpetuates racism. As Ibram X. Kendi once suggested, he was asked to define racism, and he said a system that perpetuates racist ideas for racist purposes, which, of course, is not a definition of a term. You cannot define a term by using that same term. If I ask you to define shoe and you say, well, it's a shoe that fits on your foot, that has not helped in any way, shape, or form. But
yeah, there was a moment in time when we slightly toyed with the idea that, like, maybe this movie should really be called What is a Racist? Because we found that right there is actually a question that trips these people up, which is just that, what is a race? Like, what is racism? And with Ibram X. Kendi is not the only one who can't really define it, because if he gives the actual answer, which, of course, it's not complicated. Like, if you hate someone because of their race, if you think another race is inferior to your own, then you're racist. That's basically what racism is. But they don't want to say that because then that, number one, that implicates all races potentially. Anyone can be racist. They don't want to accept that. And number two, they know that most people don't feel that way. And so if that's the definition of racism, the average person will hear that and think, okay, yeah, I legitimately don't feel that way about other races. I'm not racist. So these people have nothing to say to me. I'm free. But they don't.
Well, it's a power game. It's about implicating a system. They're not interested in implicating individuals, only insofar as they can then use those people as an attack on the broader, quote-unquote, racist system. And the way that they define racism is any system that perpetuates an inequality in outcome between two groups is a racist system. And the way you can tell that the system perpetuates the inequality is that the inequality exists. So if there's any inequality of result between white people and black people in any measure of American life, except athletics, in any measure of American life, then it must be that this is a racist system that's been set up by the group that is predominantly successful in order to victimize the other group. So success equals racism in this particular way of viewing the world, which is why Asians are now white adjacent, because Asians are too successful. It's why Jews went from being Jewish to being white. It's why if you are a black person and you are too successful and you vote Republican, you are now considered white because you can't be part of that institutional structure. It's all ridiculous power games masquerading using the words that we all thought that we knew. When we were growing up in the 1990s, everybody knew what a racist was. It wasn't like you had to go through all these hoops to try and figure out what the hell it meant. Wasn't particularly complicated. And so you would see something racist and you would call it out and everybody sort of agreed on it and then we'd all move on with our lives. But that wasn't enough for these people, because what it really is a Marxist revolution in the guise of race speak. And, you know, they're lying about it, and that's why they can't define it, because if they were to define it, it'd become clear.
That's also why they, part of the game is, especially if they want to implicate Asians and even some black people as being somehow partly white. The way they do that, of course, is you just tack on ness at the end, whiteness. And so you turn, you know, it's like they've turned racism into this kind of amorphous concept. And then they turn being white into an amorphous concept, too, where if you have skin we consider white, then you're part of whiteness. But you can be a part of whiteness and not even be white. And we find that out in the film also. That's a theme they return to quite often, is there's white people and then there's whiteness. And whiteness is a terrible thing. It's a cancer. You know, it's a disease we have to eradicate.
So, you know, I think people don't understand how much work it takes to put into a film. They watch the final product, and unless you've actually lived it the way that you did, it's very difficult for the audience to see all the work that goes into doing something like this. And just for the sake of people understanding, how much time did you have to spend on the road? How much prep was this? What was your life like while filming this?
I want to say it was probably about almost 18 months of production on this, and that means just us on the road going around talking to people, dozens and dozens of hours of footage that you then have to take, and especially with a film like this, you know, it's because you're kind of figuring out the story as you go along, and so you shoot a lot of stuff, and then you go back in and you figure out what the story is, and you build it out from there. A lot of time and a lot of work, but it's quite rewarding work. I think it's even more rewarding than like the work that goes, in my opinion, the work that goes into a podcast, because people listen to a podcast and think that there's no work that goes into that, like we don't have real jobs, which, you know, maybe is fair, but it actually is a lot of work that goes into it. But the problem is that you do a podcast, you give your take on whatever the news of the day is. And then tomorrow there's new news, and no one cares about what you said yesterday. So everything lives for like 12 hours. You do a film, there's a lot more work that goes into it up front. But hopefully, if it's successful, it will be relevant for more than a day. And that's what I love about it.
And one of the things that you obviously have to rely very heavily on in both What is a Woman and in Am I Racist is the fact that you have the world's best deadpan. So I have to ask, how was this cultivated? Is this a sort of natural persona, the deadpan? How do you not break? Like when I watched What is a Woman for the first time, and people were saying ridiculous things, and you were just absolutely stone-faced. I mean, I'm okay at it. I'm to pretty good, somewhere in the mid-range. You're, like, extraordinary levels of deadpan. And then there's a lot of that in this movie. Here you actually have to act as though you are sympathetic to the things that people are saying, which I think is actually, in some ways, harder, in some ways easier. First of all, which one did you find harder, to keep a straight face or to sort of mimic sympathy for the positions? I mean, you go pretty far here. I mean, there are times here where you're actually crying. There are times where, like, that's some pretty solid pretending, as you say.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, the answer of doing the deadpan is it's just, I was born without a soul. I don't know. I'm an emotionless freak, I suppose, is the answer. People ask me that all the time. Well, how do you manage that? Like, that's how I am, I guess. You know, I guess when you have this thing of not showing emotions, you have to find a way to channel it.
Did you have to cry on cue? Like, did you have to make yourself cry in the course of the filming?
Yeah.
What did you think of, like, a teddy bear being burned, or like, what, like, how did you?
No, I honestly, I just thought to myself, well, what would it look like if I pretended to cry? And I did. That's the whole, I'd be the worst guest on, like, Inside the Actor's Studio or something.
We're finding that out, right?
Yeah.
Right this moment?
I don't know. Well, how did you pretend to do that? I don't know. I just pretended.
Coming up, more with Matt Walsh. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
It's time again for the Majestic Stillwater Powwow, October 4th through 6th, at the Reading Rodeo Grounds, with free admission for all ages. See the return of the beautiful dancers, the feel of the powerful drummers. Learn and experience firsthand the culture of the Native American people. Proudly brought to you by the Reading Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow, October 4th through 6th, at the Reading Rodeo Grounds. For information, call 530-225-8979 or visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by the Potter family, this station, and other proud sponsors.
It's fall, y'all, and that means pumpkin flavors are here. Get on over to Black Bear Diner and get your fill of everyone's favorite sweet cream pancakes, drizzled with pumpkin pie sauce and topped with whipped cream and maple syrup. Visit Black Bear Diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive or order online at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
Hey, this is Carl and Linda Bott. Looking for a staycay or a getaway close to home? Well, the best houseboat rentals are happening right now in September and October at Holiday Harbor.
And the off-season rates at Holiday Harbor are amazing deals, and the lake is a perfect 78 degrees. For more information, go to LakeShasta.com or call 530-238-2383.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Hello, Northern California. This is Rollin with the Flag Center. With fire season clearly upon us, we're inviting you to join us in celebrating all police, firefighters, and first responders who keep us safe day and night through thick and thin. We salute you. The Flag Center keeps plenty of thin blue line and thin red line flags in stock. To get yours, stop by the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. Flags, flagpoles, and accessories since 1980.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org, and they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
This is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So we had the opportunity to sit down with Matt Walsh, star of the film Am I Racist, the hit documentary. Here's some what it sounded like.
I want to show everybody another scene from the film. This is one of the funniest scenes in the film. There's a lot in the film. It's really, really funny. So why don't you introduce what's happening in this clip? Who are these people?
So this is Race to Dinner. And when we first decided to make this movie, this was the first thing I said to the team is, like, I want to get on Race to Dinner. We have to find a way to get to Race to Dinner, because I'd heard of this Race to Dinner thing years ago. These are two women, Syra Rao and I believe Regina Jackson is the other one. And they've been doing this for several years now. And their whole thing is they go around the country and they go to dinners, and they sit at a dinner table with white women, only white women, and they sit there for 2 hours eating dinner and explaining to the white women why they are racist and horrible, and just really kind of breaking them down. It's honestly, you'll see in the film, it's probably the first real intense brainwashing session that I have personally witnessed, kind of breaking them down, letting them know that they're pieces of garbage, they're nothing, and you can kind of see it happening. And this is what these women do. They go around the country and they charge money. You know, they're paid thousands of dollars to come to dinner and call people racist. Now, so we knew we wanted this in the movie somehow. First thought, was it'd be great if I could attend a dinner and sit there and be a part of it. And we tried to make that happen, and we discovered that, no, you have to be a woman. You actually have to be a biological woman. They had another way of putting it. They said, you had to be socialized as a woman. That was their way of putting it. But really, it meant you have to actually be a woman to be at the table. So that wasn't going to work for me, unfortunately. And so we came up with a new plan. I was like, well, maybe I can't be at the table, but maybe I can get into the room another way. And we set it up so that it just so happened that I was working for the company that was catering this dinner. And so I got to be a waiter at the dinner. But I went in with the goal of, I'm in the room, I got to find a way to sit at the table. I got to earn my seat at the table. And that's how I'll know that I've really moved to the next stage in my anti-racist journey. And so I think that that's where this clip picks up.
I used to be a white woman, an unsuccessful one, for many decades, and it was a miserable experience. And really, the hatred of yourselves and each other is, like, the most, the not seeing your power, the being afraid. Like, all you do is talk about each other, talk about yourself. Oh, my God, I'm so fat.
That's all they do. I'm telling you, these white women.
But that's it. It's, I'm so fat, I'm so stupid, I'm blah, blah, blah. I'm like,
sorry.
Your kids are watching you, and they're watching you talking about each other, you know, raging against the machine or being silent or whatever the hell it is that you're doing or not doing, and they know that you're not doing it for them.
That's so important. That is so important what you just said. It's really important. That's
all. We may have to add you to our team.
Oh, I would love to take a seat and join you.
No, you're not allowed to.
Okay.
Definitely not allowed.
Okay. I have my DEI certification that I got.
Okay.
So, not saying I'm an expert, but I'm also not a novice. So, okay.
White people are starved for these conversations.
We are. Yeah. We're so starving.
Yeah.
We are so starving for this.
Anyone else want to say anything?
I'll just say one thing. I'm so glad we can have these conversations, and I'll be done. But I'm just so glad that we could all get together to have these conversations. That's all I wanted to say.
An actor? Are you an actor?
Oh, no.
Can you let us? We're trying to listen and trying to have this conversation.
Okay. You know, we're all acting all the time in our lives, and I think that that's part of the problem, you know? That it's like we're all trying to play a part rather than just being real and having these uncomfortable conversations. And that's what I'm always trying to tell people, especially, you know, white women. No offense.
No, but see, like, you're a white dude. There's power positions, and, you know, it's... Pointing white people pointing fingers at each other is not helpful.
You know, I've been on this journey for so long, and just to see you guys at the table having this conversation has been really enlightening for me. Anyway, I got the DEI certification, and I'm just on the journey. All right, you ladies have a great night.
decolonize yourself. Do your own white supremacy dismantling. And then you can start to bring in other people.
Can I just say one last thing? Can I just propose a toast? Just raise a glass if you're racist. And that's the thing.
I'm not racist. Let me just raise
my glass. Well, all the rest of it. To racist.
It's so good.
Well, I earned my seat at the table.
You did.
Obviously,
this is all improv. I mean, there are no lines written when you're walking into something like that. How do you make those decisions in the moment?
Most people, when they've watched scenes like that, they say, "Well, it seems so uncomfortable. Like, why? How did you deal with that?" It's a lot of fun. I mean, you think it'd be uncomfortable, and it is. Like, it's super uncomfortable, but it's also a lot of fun because it's like it gives you. We're making a film, and so it kind of gives me a license to say things and do things I wouldn't otherwise do. And also, frankly, like it's also fun to make a dinner like that uncomfortable. These are people that richly deserve it. So,
did you know you're going to give a toast to racism at the end of that, or that was like legitimately a spur of the moment thing?
We knew we wanted to end on a toast. That was so we had the only thing we had planned was we wanted to end on a toast. And if we could get them to participate in a toast to racist, that'd be fantastic.
So have you had any feedback from any of the people who are in the trailer? So obviously Robin DiAngelo shows up in the trailer. Sarai Rao shows up in the trailer. Have any of these people reached out and been upset or?
Not yet. I kind of expected that they would, but on the other hand, I guess there's not a lot they can say. Maybe I'm sure eventually they'll come out. Probably a lot of them are sitting kind of nervous right now and thinking about embarrassing things they said and thinking like, God, I hope that didn't make it into the film. I can tell them right now it did. and to Robin DiAngelo in particular, there's one moment that she's thinking, oh my gosh, I hope that's not in there. Oh, it is, Robin. Oh, it is.
So to get back to the film itself, so obviously you're taking on DEI. It's a big topic. It's obviously a big topic in this presidential election, and it's the undercurrents of the presidential election that we are not allowed to speak about. And as I've said before, the media like to play the sort of bizarre who's on first game, where they're like, we are appointing the first black woman vice president, and it's so important. You're like, that's kind of racist. And they're like, what's racist? Like, to appoint somebody on the basis of being black and woman, like, no, that's racist. Like, what's racist? That you said that you're appointing her only because she's a black and a woman. You're like, well, but you just said that. Like, no, but when we say it, it's not racist. When you say it, it's racist. It's this whole bizarre game. Now, how much does, you know, the DEI mentality infect our politics, and what does it mean for this particular presidential election?
That's when we call her the DEI president, as you said, that's we're just taking them at their own word. And Joe Biden, this is what happens. If you announce ahead of time that I'm only looking for – now, you could try to claim that the most you could claim is that, well, she was the best black woman who was available. And that I don't buy either. But that's the most you could say because you announced ahead of time that you're only looking in that particular category of people. So, yeah, it's a DEI president, and in a way, I guess it's sort of good because it brings us to the forefront. And the reality is that having a DEI president is a troubling thought. It's even more troubling to me to think about having a DEI airline pilot or heart surgeon. And the truth is that this stuff infects all those industries also.
All right, coming up, a little bit more with my friend Matt Walsh. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
It's back to school time with Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles at 1773 Highway 273 in Anderson. Memory Lane features timeless decor for the home or office, study or dorm, with a variety of books to choose from, including old encyclopedia sets and classic novels, along with sports memorabilia. Memory Lane also offers vintage clothing, college collectibles and gear, classic lunch boxes, porcelain dolls, tin toys, and stuffed animals. You'll also find antique and upcycled furniture, including desks and dressers, and Fusion paint and supplies for the do-it-yourselfer. Memory Lane Antiques Vintage and Collectibles features costume to classic jewelry, including necklaces, earrings, bracelets, anklets, and rings in a variety of styles and colors to choose from. They also feature a distinct Amish collection of items and gifts. Open Monday 10 to 6, close Tuesday and Wednesday, open Thursday through Saturday from 10 to 6, and Sunday open noon to 5. Memory Lane Antiques Vintage and Collectibles at 1773 Highway 273 in Anderson.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
If you haven't been listening to TV Confidential, this is who you're missing.
Louis Gossett Jr.
Eric Braden.
Samson Williams.
Burt Ward.
Peter Marshall.
Lindsay Wagner.
Loretta Swit.
Michelle Nichols.
Shirley Jones.
Louise Sorrell.
Ben Asner. A lovely, enchanting interview. Conversation. It wasn't an interview.
Well, thank you. That's what I try to do. I try to make this a conversation.
You made it.
That's TV Confidential.
Saturday morning at 11 on KCNR.
Bye.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So we had the opportunity to sit down with Matt Walsh, star of the film Am I Racist, the hit documentary. Here's some what it sounded like.
The aftermath of What is a Woman turned into a fair bit of activism. In the third act of What is a Woman is all about you taking the fight to the left, you know, going after places that are transing the kids, trying to go to states and say that this has to stop, that this is cruel, it's unusual. I mean, it's basically a violation of the Eighth Amendment, that it's terrifying and horrifying, and you're actually taking action. When it comes to DEI, what are the sort of solutions that you hope that people take away from the film?
Well, there are political solutions, some of which, you know, Donald Trump has talked about. Outlawing programs that exclude people on the basis of race, which are already supposed to be outlawed. Most of that stuff is like flagrantly illegal already. So shutting that down, which a lot of that could be done on a policy level, I think. A lot of the other changes, I think, could be made relatively easily with just lawsuits, but people that are affected by this stuff need to file lawsuits, and we've seen a little bit of that happening already. And yeah, we have an activist court system and all of that, but even so, I mean, this stuff is so flagrantly illegal that I think a lot of it only remains in place because it hasn't been challenged in the courts. And so that has to happen. And then I think and then there's kind of a cultural level too. Similar with What is a Woman, that there were laws that needed to be changed. A lot of those laws have been changed. Policies need to be put in place. A lot of them have been. Not all of them, but a lot of them have been put in place. But then there's a cultural level of people need to not be afraid when it comes to What is a Woman. You know, need to not be afraid to say what they know is true, which is that, you know, we all know what a woman is. We all know that it's wrong to do this to kids. And we all know it. So let's like all like live it as though we know it. Let's have the kind of culture that is totally intolerant of that kind of madness. And I think we're starting to see that change culturally on the gender stuff. I think it needs to happen on the race stuff, too, because even if we make all the political changes that we need to make, we still have a problem if you have, like, white people walking around feeling burdened by guilt for things they didn't do that had nothing to do with them. It's just totally misplaced, ambiguous kind of guilt that they – but a lot of these people just carry around. And we have to get rid of that. It's like – it's actually kind of a freeing message. It's not that – we're not saying that, that we all should be – we all you know, have things we've done that are wrong. And so if you feel guilt, there might be other things you've actually done in your life you need to explore. But you don't carry any sins around because of what people of your race did or didn't do 100 years ago, 200 years ago.
When you look at the people who you're profiling here, some of them are just absolute grifters. I mean, as you say, one of the things that happens in the film is you show the amounts of money that had to be paid in order to get these people in the room, and they are making absolute bank. I mean, Robin DiAngelo is making a lot of money doing this grift. So you understand why she's doing it. She's doing it because it's a wonderfully lucrative grift. The question is that, you know, you having now inhabited this character, yes, it's pretend, but also, you know, you actually have to try, I assume, to think about what it would be like to be that person in order to be that person. Now, where do you think the attendees at Sarai Rao are coming from? Like, what would motivate a human being to shell out thousands of dollars to go listen to Robin DiAngelo, not to mock her or to expose her, but to actually take her seriously? What is the mindset of a country that takes these people seriously?
I think for those individual people, I would like to think it's as simple as a virtue signal, and they're trying to impress their liberal friends or whatever. And I'm sure there's some of that, but you don't sit around the table and pay money to endure that just as a virtue signal. I think you're there because at some fundamental level you really believe it. And so for those people, they are true believers. And I think that on this issue in particular, if I were to psychoanalyze, I think a lot of it does come down to guilt. And people are carrying around a lot of guilt. Everyone carries around guilt. And part of the problem is that in the past, we had a way of understanding the guilt that we all feel. And you understood it in a religious context. You understood it as a spiritual problem. And there was also a remedy, which changes from religion to religion. But every religion has, like, a remedy for the guilt. It's like, here's what you do with that. The religion says to you, you feel guilty, you should. Because here are bad things that you're doing. Here's what you do about that. Here's what you do with that. And as we become a secular society, we don't have that message anymore. So people still have the guilt, though. And so they're, like, looking around, like, why do I feel this way? What do I do with this? How do I explain it? And then you have the DEI grifters, the race grifters, that come in with an answer. And their answer is, it's because you're white, because it's all racial. And by the way, here's what you can do to atone for that. Now, for people who aren't white, it's still a similar thing, because another thing people can walk around feeling is, you know, you feel like you're not where you want to be in life. You feel like you haven't progressed as much as you want. We all have, to a certain extent or another, like an inferiority complex, you know. And so the message from the race grifters, if you're in the non-white category, is, yeah, well, you feel that way because there's this conspiracy against you by these people over here. And so we're going to give you a way to channel those feelings. And so I think that's what's happening with a lot of these people.
Yeah, that's such a great point about, you know, the kind of misinterpretation of guilt. Because as you say, most mainstream religions will say that there are activities that human beings participate that we all sin. That's just what we are. That we both have an identity problem because we're sinful creatures or creatures capable of sin. But also because we sin. I mean, just on a daily basis, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to break the rules. You're going to do things deliberately that you know violate the rules, and that's a sin. And then you have to address yourself with God and make yourself right with your fellow human being and God in order to alleviate all that. And secular leftism says there's no such thing as sin. Sin doesn't actually exist. So when it comes to your own personal activity, there's what the state says is wrong, which is not quite a sin. It's just kind of what the state says is wrong. But there's no reason for you to ever feel guilty about the things that you do. There's only, but that guilt has to go somewhere. So maybe you should feel guilty about the thing that you are, but not how you identify yourself. How about the things that are immutable? So we moved from you feeling guilty about the things that are mutable about you, namely your actions, your attitudes toward the world, the things that you do in the world, to guilt about the things that are immutable about you, your race, your sex, the things you were born with, right? All of that's the stuff that you, and I guess that's a good way of avoiding the guilt, because as soon as you declare that you're guilty for having done that, there's literally nothing more you can do. There's no actual corrective action you can take. to fix immutable guilt. Immutable guilt is upon you, and so the minute you acknowledge it, it's now been expiated.
And there's a certain amount of pride, because in a religious context, yes, it's about pointing you towards, yes, there are sins you're committing, you shouldn't commit them, but there isn't, or at least there shouldn't be any pride in the religious person of, like, recognizing that something is a sin. But over here, there's a certain pride for the white person who says, "Oh yeah, I'm guilty of being white." And the moment they acknowledge that, then they take this almost weird, sick pride in the fact that they realize how terrible they are for being white, and they get to feel. Now they'll say all the time that they're not better than anybody else, but they clearly feel like they're better than the average white person for having recognized this about themselves. And then, and you know they feel that way because then a lot of them will turn around
and lecture the other way.
And lecture the other way and charge money to, just because now they are part of the enlightened few.
So you become a licensed DEI expert in the film. How hard was it to penetrate these circles? I mean, because then you actually, in the film, it's not really a giveaway because there's a clip of it, you actually end up like giving DEI advice to people. How hard was it to penetrate this industry once you have your DEI certification, which I assume comes with some sort of crackerjack box or something?
Not hard at all. Extremely easy. It's very easy to get certified. And it's, once you are certified, it's very easy to get anywhere you want. Like it really does. That might change now, but when we made the film, at least when we were in production, it really does open up like any door that you want to open. Probably because it never occurred to them that anybody would be as terrible as we are and exploit it in this way. So I don't know. I might have ruined it for the next person who wants to come along.
Destroy the entire industry now. So there goes a multi-billion-dollar industry, Matt. First you take out the transing of the kids industry, and now you're taking out the DEI industry, just single-handedly destroying the American economy. It's just causing a new Great Depression. Unbelievable, this guy.
That's the hope.
And so all right, give me your quick 5-second, not 5 seconds, but give me your quick TED Talk spiel. You're the DEI expert. Put on the persona. Pitch me on the DEI TED Talk here.
Well, look, what I discovered with being a DEI trainer myself is that, you know, you're not saying anything. You just have to have, there's certain buzzwords you have to know, and you just have to keep coming back to those buzzwords. A big one is decolonize yourself, decolonize your whiteness. I still don't know what that, I honest to God, I'm not just saying I don't know what that means. After producing this film for a year and a half and hearing it a million times, I don't know what it means. I don't. But it doesn't matter. That's the great thing about it. Just say it. It's all you have to do is say to someone, you have to decolonize your whiteness. If you look serious while you say it, that's it. They're not going to ask you, what do you mean by that? Because the other thing we discovered is that, the people you're talking to, they don't want to admit that they don't know what you're saying because they feel like they should know these terms. That's one of the tools of the woke trade here is that they use these totally made up terms and they throw them into conversation and they know the people listening aren't going to want to ask, like, what does that mean? Because if you ask that question, it means that you've already exposed yourself as not like part of the club. So everybody just sits there and they listen and they nod along. So decolonize yourself is a big one. Whiteness is a big one. Journey. We're always going on a journey. We're always on a journey somewhere. It's not about the destination. It's just you're on the journey. And you just kind of circle around those themes over and over and over again. It never ends.
Well, if you've not yet bought your ticket, folks, you really need to. miracist.com to buy your tickets. Matt is going to be in theaters, obviously, September 13th. Congratulations on another phenomenal piece of work that took an enormous amount of effort. It's going to destroy, again, another entire swath of the left-wing economy. So I can't wait to see what you do next, and I'm slightly horrified to find out what the pitch will be.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right, folks, we've reached the end of today's show. We'll be back here Monday with much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice.
Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor. Former President Trump and Georgia Governor Brian Kemp made their first public appearance together in years, putting aside simmering tensions to highlight now Hurricane Helene and how it has devastated the state. The former president says Georgia will be treated well in its hurricane recovery if he retakes the White House.
We have a big election coming up, and if I'm involved, I told the governor, if I'm involved, they're going to get the best treatment. They're going to get treatment like we did in the past. We always had a big the farmers got hit very hard, and I guess they got hit just as hard, or maybe is this worse or is this of equal?
Probably worse.
Probably worse. That was a bad one.
Also at townhall.com, they're getting back to work for now.
A massive dock worker strike that shut down cargo ports across the East Coast and the Gulf Coast earlier this week has been suspended, with workers agreeing to return to their jobs Friday as contract negotiations continue. The International Longshoremen's Association has been trying to hammer out a new work contract with the U.S. Maritime Alliance, which represents terminal operators and shipping lines. President Joe Biden said the decision to reopen ports is patriotic and shows that collective bargaining works. Vice President Kamala Harris said she applauds all involved for their efforts. Former President Donald Trump has likewise spoken in support of the dock workers, although he has also blamed massive inflation for throwing gasoline on the fire. Bernie Bennett reporting.
Nearly 700,000 homes and businesses in the southeast are still without power after a week after Hurricane Helene blew through. Most of the outages were in the Carolinas and Georgia. At least 220 people have died in the storm. Crews still trying to reach people who have not been accounted for in some hard-to-reach places. Israel has carried out a series of punishing airstrikes in the southeastern suburbs of Beirut. Strikes have also out of the main border crossing between Lebanon and Syria for tens of thousands fleeing Israeli bombardment. The overnight blast in Beirut's southern suburbs sent huge plumes of smoke and flames into the night sky and shook buildings miles away in the Lebanese capital. More at townhall.com.
You see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. And maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for health care can save many families up to $500 a month, and that's huge. But it's also true people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. See what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 844-41-BIBLE. That's 844-41-BIBLE. 844-41-BIBLE.
Deadly flooding from Hurricane Helene in western North Carolina has disrupted the underground nests of yellow jackets, bees, and other insects, causing them to swarm and sting people struggling to recover from the storm.
Deadly flooding from Hurricane Helene in western North Carolina has also disrupted the underground nest of yellow jackets, bees, and other insects, causing them to swarm and sting people struggling to recover from the storm. It's caused such a surge in requests for medication to protect people allergic to stings that the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services is buying Benadryl and epinephrine injections to help fill requests through hospitals, emergency medical personnel, and doctors. And the humanitarian aid group Direct Relief says it has sent more than 2,000 EpiPen injections to community health centers, clinics, and pharmacies across western North Carolina. I'm Norman Hall.
You'll find breaking news and analysis, more headlines at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor. A new study on hurricanes in the U.S.
The study says hurricanes are hundreds of times deadlier in the long run than the government calculates. Researchers say they contribute to more American deaths than car accidents or all of the nation's wars. The study says the average storm hitting the U.S. contributes to the early deaths of 7 to 11,000 people over a 15-year period. That dwarfs the average of 24 immediate and direct deaths that the government counts in a hurricane's aftermath. John Scott reporting.
And with hundreds of thousands of homes and businesses still without power more than a week after Hurricane Helene blew through, Duke Energy said Friday that it hopes to have the lights back on for many of its customers in the Carolinas by the end of the weekend. But it warns that people in places with catastrophic damage should be prepared to wait for weeks or longer The storm also causing very severe damage to many city water systems as well. You'll find more at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor.
Join us as we celebrate a milestone in American history, the 249th birthday of the United States Marine Corps. Mark your calendars for November 10th at the Wind River Event Center, where everyone is invited to honor the Marines in style. The celebration kicks off with a march to colors featuring the Jefferson Pipes and Drums as we pay tribute to our oldest and youngest Marines. This unforgettable evening includes a delicious dinner, birthday cake, and dancing. Tickets are just $45, and they're going fast, so secure yours. Visit ShastaMarines.com. That's ShastaMarines.com. Don't miss out on this special event. Tickets are just $45, and they're going fast, so secure yours. Visit ShastaMarines.com. Again, that's ShastaMarines.com. Don't miss out on this special event. We can't wait to celebrate with you on November 10th at the Wind River Event Center. See you there.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Matt Walsh is the star of the hit documentary in theaters, Am I Racist? That documentary is now historically one of the top grossing documentaries of all time. I had the opportunity to sit down with Matt and talk about Am I Racist and some of his other work. Here's what it sounded like.
Matt Walsh, the star of Am I Racist. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Great to be here again.
As always, it's amazing to see you. So let's talk about...
No, I did this show like 7 years ago, right?
Really? It's been that long?
Yeah. You remember that?
Not at all. I feel like I've seen you since.
Yeah,
but...
probably.
Wow. Wow.
It was actually the first interview I ever did in my life.
Really?
Yeah. It was terrible. I was really bad.
Wow. Well, you've certainly improved in so many of your qualities, although the beard is... Did you have a beard at the time?
It was more like your sad excuse for a beard.
Right. That's
I've learned to hide my face since then.
Yeah.
The key to my success.
Actually, in this movie, it sort of is the key to your success, as it turns out. So let's talk about the origins of Am I Racist? So you make What is a Woman, the best documentary of the last 10 years with director Justin Folk, and then... We're trying to figure out here at Daily Wire what you do next, and you come up with this. So where did this come from?
Well, we knew we wanted to explore. The first question is, like, what issue do you want to get into next? And it was pretty obvious we wanted to get into race and the anti-racism grift and DEI and all that stuff. And the next question is, like, well, how do you approach it? And, of course, with What is a Woman, the whole kind of premise of the film is just me going around and asking very, very simple questions, remaining like a blank slate, not really skeptical, but also not believing anybody the whole time. I think we knew with this issue that strategy probably doesn't work as well. And we don't want to just do the same thing over again. So our idea with this was like, well, what if we start in the same place? I start by just asking questions, but rather than remaining a blank slate, if I just take everything I'm told and believe it uncritically and then try to put it into practice, and like, where will that take us? And so it was really, it made it fun, but also challenging because when we started making the film, we honestly didn't know where it would go or what the film would be in its final at the end.
I want to start this interview by playing a clip from the film, Am I Racist? Which, by the way, everybody should obviously go check out amiracist.com and pre-buy your tickets if you've not already, which you should have. But this is a clip from near the beginning of the film. Why don't you tee up the clip that we're about to play? This is sort of the very beginning of the film.
Yeah, this is very early on, and we discovered that, you know, there are these workshops that I guess we asked ourselves, like, if I want to start this journey, where should I begin? Fortunately, there are a lot of DEI certified experts out there offering their services for a fee, sometimes a quite handsome fee, and they have all kinds of workshops. And so we looked into these workshops, and one that we found was a workshop for your white grief, to work through if you as a white person feel grief and guilt over your privilege, which I of course do. I have a lot of grief all the time, a lot of guilt. I mean, I'm Catholic. I carry around a lot of guilt because, you know, as Catholics, we have a lot of Catholic guilt. So I figured this is a good place to start to kind of unpack, as they would say, a lot of that. And go into this workshop. We all sit around, as you'll see. It's like looks like an AA meeting, basically. A bunch of white people. There's a black woman who's the leader of the group instructing us. We were told when we first started, one of the rules is that if you're a white person in the group and you start to get emotional and cry, you can't cry in the group because white tears are manipulative. So there's a cry room that you can go to.
Even to the other white people?
Yes.
Wow.
They don't want to see your white tears. No white tears. We got into it, and I discovered as we were sitting in the group and talking about it and going around in circles and answering questions, I started to get pretty emotional. It was much heavier than I thought it was going to be, I guess. And so I had to leave to go to the cry room at one point. And while I was in the cry room, unfortunately, a couple of the people in the group realized who I was. They put two and two together. They talked to the other people in the group, told them who I really was. And this clip picks up with me reemerging from the cry room, drying my eyes off, and then this is what happened.
The white participants in the group feel that there's something in themselves that they have to overcome. When all that's being requested of you is that you be. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Sorry about that.
Oh, no problem. You good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Remind me of your name again.
Steven.
Steven? Yeah? Okay. Did you want to come up?
Come up?
Yeah. Do you want to come up and share anything?
Sure. What do you want me to share?
Whatever's on your mind.
I just want to know that, like, my physical safety and yours and everybody else's here is okay.
Why would your physical safety not be okay? Did I miss something?
I don't feel comfortable.
What? Can you guys catch me up to speed on what's going on here?
You don't need to be caught up. We're going to be silent.
Is it because I said I had 17 black friends? It might have been 15. It depends on how you count them.
I would really appreciate it if you left so that the people who actually want to be here and deserve to be here can get what they need.
I do want to be here.
Can you please leave?
I would like it if you left.
I'm trying to learn. I'm on this journey.
Come with me.
Well,
thank you.
I didn't consent to be touched.
I'm not offering to touch you. I'm offering to walk you out. Will you walk with me and I'll answer your questions?
Okay. I'll admit it. My name's not Steven.
Mm.
Maybe you already knew that. My name is Matt Walsh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We know.
I just was here on this journey that I'm just starting, but I see that I'm not wanted.
If you were on your journey, then you would have told us who you were, your real name, but you didn't.
Are you saying mm-hmm. I needed a better disguise? Is that what you...
I don't know. Maybe. But you can figure that out as you walk out the door.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I really had the transformative experience myself. And my pronouns are he, him.
I did everything I could to fit in. I opened up. I was raw and emotional. I told them about my black friends. It was no use. They rejected me. And they called the police. My mere presence in the room caused them pain. I'll never be accepted if I look like this. If they know that I'm Matt Walsh, I'll always be an outsider. I need to go deeper undercover. A whole new identity. I want to be an ally. I need to look like one. Like someone who is progressive, tolerant, enlightened. Let me think. Have I ever met anyone like that? Ah, yes. Yes, I have.
What is a woman?
Why do you ask the question?
Rated PG-13. Buy tickets now.
So.
That's the origin. That's the, like, the superhero origin story.
Yeah.
It's where the costume comes from, yeah.
And it is amazing. I mean, you were able to get into extraordinary spaces by wearing a man bun and some very thin-framed glasses.
Yeah. You wouldn't think it'd be enough, but it's sort of similar to what we experienced with What is a Woman when we were able to talk to people that we didn't think. We get the same question with What is a Woman. How did you get those people to talk to you? And the answer is it's kind of the same in both cases, that a lot of these people live in a bubble where they can't even imagine that anybody would ever try to challenge them or embarrass them or expose them in any way, because they've never been around that ever. They've never been around anyone who would actually do anything but fall to their knees in admiration of them. And so I think we were able to kind of take advantage of that sort of arrogance of these people.
How did you get all these people in the room with you? Apparently, I mean, we saw the budget. I know the budget. So it was not cheap to get many of these people in the room. There's a good living being made by DEI consultants.
Yeah, that's the answer right there. Most people we talked to were willing to perhaps even put their better judgment to the side if we just pay their fee. Which, of course, is funny because they also claim that they're fighting racism and they want to get the word out about that. But they'll only do it if you pay them. And so that's one thing we do in the film is we tell the audience very directly, like, this is how much this person charged us to talk to them. And you're going to see that some of the price tags are quite substantial.
For folks who don't actually understand how deep-rooted this is in American society, you know, I think most Americans, they look at this like, this is very fringy. I mean, not that many people that I think normies know goes to a white guilt seminar where they weep about, you know, their exposure to white privilege and all this sort of stuff. Most people are presumably not doing, as we'll see in another clip, a dinner party with Sarai Rao. We'll get to that in a minute. But you know, this does pervade all of American society. I mean, it's baked into law. It's baked into employment policies at a wide variety of companies. According to Kamala Harris, it's baked into her policies as would-be president. Equity is pervading all parts of the federal government. Maybe you can explain for a second, like, why Americans should really care about DEI. It's become a buzzword on the right, but for a lot of people, they don't necessarily understand what it is.
Yeah, I think the fact that most Americans aren't sitting around in a circle at a white grief seminar or going to a race to dinner event, that's sort of the point. That's why it matters, because most people are not true believers like this. They want nothing to do with this craziness. And yet, like, the people you see in the film are the ones who are coming up with these programs that are then foisted on normal Americans at their jobs. So maybe in your free time, you're not choosing to go to something like this. But the problem is that this stuff is brought to you in places where there's no reason why it would be there. The fact that you just want to work, you know, you're working a job has nothing to do with any of this. And yet you're being forced to, at the very least, listen to this sort of lecturing, if not actively affirm it in a lot of cases. So this is why we have to care about it, because we really have no choice. I wish we were in a position where we could look at some of these people in the film and say, the total fringe doesn't matter. What they say is totally irrelevant. I want to get to a point where it is irrelevant, but right now it's not.
All right, coming up, a little bit more with my friend Matt Walsh. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Smoke and sap, dirt and grime, leaves and pollen, and even bugs. Just a few things that can possibly damage your vehicle's paint over time, causing it to pit, fade, and oxidize, basically ruining your paint job. Quick and Clean Car Wash can help. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash also offers car wash packages. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Now, this is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right, even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up, fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, we had the opportunity to sit down with Matt Walsh, star of the film Am I Racist, the hit documentary. Here's from what it sounded like.
So, when you were preparing for the film, did you have to read a lot of the tomes from these people? One of the people who you get in the film is Robin DiAngelo, the author of White Fragility, which is one of the best-selling anti-racist books of the last 10 years. It sold hundreds of thousands of copies. It was used as sort of the guide for the pathetic white people during the race riots of 2020, during the George Floyd uprising. Did you have to read through a lot of this material in order to prep for the film?
There's only so much that I can subject myself to. I certainly listened to several lectures from these people. I did read Robin DiAngelo's book, White Fragility.
Truly an awful piece of...
It's horrific. Once you read one book, that's the other thing. It's like once you've read one of these books, you get the idea. It's always the same thing. It's the same ideas. All the people we talk to in the film, they all have the same central... It's the same central thesis, which is that white people are inherently racist and are the villains of history. And that's pretty much it. That's the idea. That's the starting point, right?
And the way they define racism is that they are participants in a system that perpetuates racism. As Ibram X. Kendi once suggested, he's asked to define racism, and he said a system that perpetuates racist ideas for racist purposes, which, of course, is not a definition of a term. You cannot define a term by using that same term. If I ask you to define shoe and you say, well, it's a shoe that fits on your foot, that has not helped in any way, shape, or form. But
yeah, there was a moment in time when we slightly toyed with the idea that, like, maybe this movie should really be called What is a Racist? Because we found that right there is actually a question that trips these people up, which is just that, what is a race? Like, what is racism? And with Ibram X. Kendi is not the only one who can't really define it, because if he gives the actual answer, which, of course, is... It's not complicated. Like, if you hate someone because of their race, if you think another race is inferior to your own, then you're racist. That's basically what racism is. But they don't want to say that because then that, number one, that implicates all races potentially. Anyone can be racist. They don't want to accept that. And number two, they know that most people don't feel that way. And so if that's the definition of racism, the average person will hear that and think, okay, yeah, I legitimately don't feel that way about other races. I'm not racist. So these people have nothing to say to me. I'm free. But they don't.
Well, it's a power game. It's about implicating a system. They're not interested in implicating individuals, only insofar as they can then use those people as an attack on the broader, quote-unquote, racist system. And the way that they define racism is any system that perpetuates an inequality in outcome between two groups is a racist system. And the way you can tell that the system perpetuates the inequality is that the inequality exists. So if there's any inequality of result between white people and black people in any in any measure of American life, except athletics, in any measure of American life, then it must be that this is a racist system and has been set up by the group that is predominantly successful in order to victimize the other group. So success equals racism in this particular way of viewing the world, which is why Asians are now white adjacent, because Asians are too successful. It's why Jews went from being Jewish to being white. It's why if you are a black person and you are too successful and you vote Republican, you are now considered white because you can't be part of that institutional structure. It's all ridiculous power games masquerading using the words that we all thought that we knew. When we were growing up in the 1990s, everybody knew what a racist was. It wasn't like you had to go through all these hoops to try and figure out what the hell it meant. It wasn't particularly complicated. And so you would see something racist and you'd call it out and everybody sort of agreed on it and then we'd all move on with our lives. But that wasn't enough for these people, because what it really is a Marxist revolution in the guise of race speak. And you know, they're lying about it, and that's why they can't define it, because if they were to define it, it'd become clear.
That's also why they, part of the game is, especially if they want to implicate Asians and even some black people as being somehow partly white, the way they do that, of course, is you just tack on ness at the end, whiteness. And so you turn, you know, they've turned racism into this kind of amorphous concept, and then they turn being white into an amorphous concept, too, where it's yeah, if you have skin we consider white, then you're part of whiteness. But you can be a part of whiteness and not even be white. And we find that out in the film also. That's a theme they return to quite often, is there's white people and then there's whiteness. And whiteness is a terrible thing. It's a cancer. You know, it's a disease we have to eradicate.
So, you know, I think people don't understand how much work it takes to put into a film. They watch the final product, and unless you've actually lived it the way that you did, it's very difficult for the audience to see all the work that goes into doing something like this. And just for the sake of people understanding, how much time did you have to spend on the road? How much prep was this? What was your life like while filming this?
I want to say it was probably about almost 18 months of production on this, and that means just us on the road going around talking to people, dozens and dozens of hours of footage that you then have to take. And especially with a film like this, you know, it's because you're kind of figuring out the story as you go along. And so you shoot a lot of stuff and then you go back in and you figure out what the story is and you build it out from there. It's a lot of time and a lot of work. But it's quite rewarding work. I think it's even more rewarding than like the work that goes, in my opinion, the work that goes into a podcast, because people listen to a podcast and think that there's no work that goes into that. Like, we don't have real jobs, which, you know, maybe is fair, but it actually is a lot of work that goes into it. But the problem is that you do a podcast, you give your take on whatever the news of the day is, and then tomorrow there's new news and no one cares about what you said yesterday. So everything lives for like 12 hours. You do a film, there's a lot more work that goes into it up front, but hopefully, if it's successful, it will be relevant for more than a day, and that's what I love about it.
And one of the things that you obviously have to rely very heavily on in both What is a Woman and in Am I Racist is the fact that you have the world's best deadpan. So I have to ask, how was this cultivated? Is this a sort of natural persona, the deadpan? How do you not break? Like, when I watched What is a Woman for the first time, and people were saying ridiculous things, and you were just absolutely stone-faced. I mean, I'm okay at it. I'm to pretty good, somewhere in the mid-range. You're, like, extraordinary levels of deadpan. And then there's a lot of that in this movie. Here you actually have to act as though you are sympathetic to the things that people are saying, which I think is actually, in some ways harder, in some ways easier. First of all, which one did you find harder, to keep a straight face or to sort of mimic sympathy for the positions? I mean, you go pretty far here. I mean, there are times here where you're actually crying. There are times where that's some pretty solid pretending, as you say.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, the answer of doing the deadpan is it's just I was born without a soul. I don't know. I'm an emotionless freak, I suppose, is the answer. People ask me that all the time. Well, how do you manage that? Like, that's how I am, I guess. You know, I guess when you have this thing of not showing emotions, you have to find a way to channel it.
Did you have to cry on cue? Like, did you have to make yourself cry in the course of the filming?
Yeah.
What did you think of, like, a teddy bear being burned, or like, what, like, how did you?
No, I just thought to myself, well, what would it look like if I pretended to cry? And I did. That's the whole. I can't even. I can't. I'd be the worst guest on, like, Inside the Actor's Studio or something.
We're finding that out, right? Yeah. Right this moment?
I don't know. Well, how did you pretend to do that? I don't know. I just pretended.
Coming up, more with Matt Walsh. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Cindy at Laux Landscape Supply, and we're excited to celebrate our 5th anniversary with you. October 4th through the 13th is your chance to save big on products like 2.5-gallon Ranger Pro for only $59 a jug, low mulch mix for only $36 a yard, or pavers for your new walkway or patio start at $3.99 a square foot. It's that time of year to prevent the weeds before they start with 50-pound bags of Dimension pre-emergent covering over 10,000 square feet and on sale for only $33.99 a bag. Considering a water feature, we have pond liner pumps and all the accessories to make your water feature come to life. Needing to prep the driveway before the winter rains? Road base starts at $34 a yard. Maybe you're planning a winter garden this year. Our popular Garden Power Soil will be on sale for only $51.99 a yard. So come celebrate and save with us at Laux Landscape Supply October 4th through the 13th at the intersection of Durst, Stern Creek, and Airport Road. Check us out online at LauxLandscape.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. For all your construction, landscape supplies, and rental needs, Laux Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Hey, this is Carl and Linda Bott. Looking for a staycay or a getaway close to home? Well, the best houseboat rentals are happening right now in September and October at Holiday Harbor.
And the off-season rates at Holiday Harbor are amazing deals, and the lake is a perfect 78 degrees. For more information, go to lakeshasta.com or call 530-238-2383.
Join us as we celebrate a milestone in American history, the 249th birthday of the United States Marine Corps. Mark your calendars for November 10th at the Wind River Event Center, where everyone is invited to honor the Marines in style. The celebration kicks off with a march to colors featuring the Jefferson Pipes and Drums, as we pay tribute to our oldest and youngest Marines. This unforgettable evening includes a delicious dinner, birthday cake, and dancing. Tickets are just $45, and they're going fast, so secure yours. Visit ShastaMarines.com. That's ShastaMarines.com. Don't miss out on this special event. Tickets are just $45, and they're going fast, so secure yours. Visit ShastaMarines.com. Again, that's ShastaMarines.com. Don't miss out on this special event. We can't wait to celebrate with you on November 10th at the Wind River Event Center. See you there.
It's fall, y'all, and that means pumpkin flavors are here. Get on over to Black Bear Diner and get your fill of everyone's favorite sweet cream pancakes, drizzled with pumpkin pie sauce and topped with whipped cream and maple syrup. Visit Black Bear Diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive or order online at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So we had the opportunity to sit down with Matt Walsh, star of the film Am I Racist, the hit documentary. Here's from what it sounded like.
I want to show everybody another scene from the film. This is one of the funniest scenes in the film. There's a lot in the film. It's really, really funny. So why don't you introduce what's happening in this clip? Who are these people?
So this is Race to Dinner, and when we first decided to make this movie, this was the first thing I said to the team is, like, I want to get on Race to Dinner. We have to find a way to get to Race to Dinner, because I'd heard of this Race to Dinner thing years ago. These are two women, Syra Rao and I believe Regina Jackson is the other one, and they've been doing this for several years now, and their whole thing is they go around the country and they go to dinners, and they sit at a dinner table with white women, only white women, and they sit there for 2 hours eating dinner and explaining to the white women why they are racist and horrible. And just really kind of breaking them down. It's honestly, you'll see in the film, it's probably the first real brainwashing session, real intense brainwashing session that I have personally witnessed. Kind of breaking them down, letting them know that they're pieces of garbage, they're nothing, and you can kind of see it happening. And this is what these women do. They go around the country and they charge money. You know, they're paid thousands of dollars to come to dinner and call people racist. Now, so we knew we wanted this in the movie somehow. First thought, was it'd be great if I could attend a dinner and sit there and be a part of it. And we tried to make that happen, and we discovered that, no, you have to be a woman. You actually have to be a biological woman. They had another way of putting it. They said, They said you had to be socialized as a woman. That was their way of putting it. But really, it meant you have to actually be a woman to be at the table. So that wasn't going to work for me, unfortunately. And so we came up with a new plan. I was like, well, maybe I can't be at the table, but maybe I can get into the room another way. And we set it up so that it just so happened that I was working for the company that was catering this dinner. And so I got to be a waiter at the dinner. But I went in with the goal of, I'm in the room, I got to find a way to sit at the table. I got to earn my seat at the table. And that's how I'll know that I've really moved to the next stage in my anti-racist journey. And so I think that that's where this clip picks up.
I used to be a white woman, an unsuccessful one, for many decades, and it was a miserable experience. And really, the hatred of yourselves and each other is like the most, the not seeing your power. The being afraid. Like, all you do is talk about each other. Talk about yourself. Oh, my God,
that's
so fat.
That's all they do. I'm telling you. These white women?
But it's that's it. It's, I'm so fat. I'm so stupid. I'm blah, blah, blah. I'm like...
Sorry.
Your kids are watching you. And they're watching you talking about each other, you know, raging against the machine or being silent or whatever the hell it is that you're doing or not doing, and they know that you're not doing it for them.
That's so important. That is so important what you just said. It's really important. That's
we
all.
We may have to add you to our team.
Oh, I would love to take a seat and join you.
No, you're not allowed to.
Okay.
Definitely not allowed.
Okay. I have my DEI certification that I got.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Not saying I'm an expert, but I'm also not a novice. So, okay.
White people are starved for these conversations.
We are. Yeah. We're so starving.
Yeah.
We are so starving for this.
Anyone else want to say anything?
I'll just say one thing. I'm so glad we can have these conversations, and I'll be done. But I'm just so glad that we could all get together to have these conversations. That's all I wanted to say.
Is he an actor? Are you an actor?
Oh, no.
We're trying to listen and trying to have this conversation.
Okay. You know, we're all acting all the time in our lives. And I think that that's part of the problem, you know? that it's like we're all trying to play a part rather than just being real and having these uncomfortable conversations. And that's what I'm always trying to tell people, especially, you know, white women. No offense. But,
no, so. But see, like, you're a white dude. There's power positions, and, yeah. You know, it's it pointing white people pointing fingers at each other is not helpful.
You know, I've been on this journey for so long, and just to see you guys at the table having this conversation has been really enlightening for me. Anyway, I got the DEI certification, and I'm just on the journey. All right, you ladies have a great night.
Decolonize yourself. Do your own white supremacy dismantling. And then you can start to bring in other people.
Can I just say one last thing? Can I just propose a toast? I mean, just raise a glass if you're racist. And that's the thing.
I'm not racist. Let me just
raise, well, all the rest of it. To racist.
It's so good.
Well, I earned my seat at the table.
You did.
In the end.
I mean, obviously, this is all improv. I mean, there are no lines written when you're walking into something like that.
Yeah.
So how do you make those decisions in the moment?
Most people, when they've watched scenes like that, they say, well, it seems so uncomfortable. Like, why? How did you deal with that? It's a lot of fun. I mean, you think it'd be uncomfortable, but, and it is, like, it's super uncomfortable, but it's also a lot of fun because, you know, it's like, it gives you, we're making a film. And so it kind of gives me a license to say things and do things I wouldn't otherwise do. And also, frankly, like, it's also fun to make a dinner like that uncomfortable. These are people that richly deserve it. So
did you know you're going to give a toast to racism at the end of that? Or that was like legitimately a spur of the moment thing?
We knew we wanted to end on a toast. That was, so we had the only thing we had planned was we wanted to end on a toast. And if we could get them to participate in a toast to racist, that'd be fantastic.
So have you had any feedback from any of the people who are in the trailer? So obviously Robin DiAngelo shows up in the trailer. Sarah I. Rao shows up in the trailer. Have any of these people reached out and been upset or?
Not yet. No, not yet. I kind of expected that they would, but on the other hand, I guess there's not a lot they can say. Maybe I'm sure eventually they'll come out. Probably a lot of them are sitting kind of nervous right now and thinking about embarrassing things they said and thinking, like, God, I hope that didn't make it into the film. I can tell them right now it did. And to Robin DiAngelo in particular, there's one moment that she's thinking, oh, my gosh, I hope that's not in there. Oh, it is, Robin. Oh, it is.
So to get back to the film itself, so obviously you're taking on DEI. It's a big topic. It's obviously a big topic in this presidential election, and it's the undercurrents of the presidential election that we're not allowed to speak about. And as I've said before, the media like to play the sort of bizarre who's on first game, where they're like, we are appointing the first black woman vice president, and it's so important. You're like, that's kind of racist. And they're like, what's racist? Like, to appoint somebody on the basis of being black and woman, they're like, no, that's racist. Like, what's racist? That you said that you're appointing her only because she's a black and a woman. You're like, well, but you just said that. Like, no, but when we say it, it's not racist. When you say it, it's racist. It's this whole bizarre game. Now, how much does, you know, the DEI mentality infect our politics, and what does it mean for this particular presidential election?
When we call her the DEI president, as you said, that's we're just taking them at their own word. And Joe Biden, this is what happens. If you announce ahead of time that I'm only looking for – now, you could try to claim that the most you could claim is that, well, she was the best black woman who was available. And that I don't buy either. But – That's the most you could say because you announced ahead of time that you're only looking in that particular category of people. So, yeah, it's a DEI president, and in a way, I guess it's sort of good because it brings us to the forefront. And the reality is that having a DEI president is a troubling thought. It's even more troubling to me to think about having a DEI airline pilot or, you know, heart surgeon. And the truth is that this stuff infects all those industries also.
All right, coming up a little bit more, my friend Matt Walsh, this is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Redding's premier licensed legacy cultivator exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors, freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragons.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew and this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Gran Habanos Corojo No. 5 with the unusual Shaggy Foot. Offering two distinct experiences, Corojo No. 5 comes from Honduras with Nicaraguan, Mexican, and Costa Rican tobaccos. Finished off with a spicy Nicaraguan Corojo wrapper leaf for a heavy and rich smoke. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Qualify.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So we had the opportunity to sit down with Matt Walsh, star of the film Am I Racist, the hit documentary. Here's from what it sounded like.
The aftermath of What is a Woman turned into a fair bit of activism. In the third act of What is a Woman is all about you taking the fight to the left, you know, going after places that are transing the kids, trying to go to states and say that this has to stop, that this is cruel, it's unusual. I mean, it's basically a violation of the Eighth Amendment, that it's terrifying and horrifying, and you're actually taking action. When it comes to DEI, what are the sort of solutions that you hope that people take away from the film?
Well, there are political solutions, some of which, you know, Donald Trump has talked about, outlawing programs that exclude people on the basis of race, which are already supposed to be outlawed. Most of that stuff is like flagrantly illegal already. So shutting that down, which a lot of that could be done on a policy level, I think. A lot of the other changes, I think, could be made relatively easily with just lawsuits, but people that are affected by this stuff need to file lawsuits, and we've seen a little bit of that happening already. And yeah, we have an activist court system and all of that, but even so, I mean, this stuff is so flagrantly illegal that I think a lot of it only remains in place because it hasn't been challenged in the courts. And so that has to happen. And then I think and then there's kind of a cultural level too. Similar with What is a Woman, that there were laws that needed to be changed. A lot of those laws have been changed. Policies need to be put in place. A lot of them have been, not all of them, but a lot of them have been put in place. But then there's the cultural level of people need to not be afraid when it comes to What is a Woman. you know, need to not be afraid to say what they know is true, which is that, you know, we all know what a woman is. We all know that it's wrong to do this to kids, and we all know it. So let's like all like live it as though we know it. Let's have the kind of culture that is totally intolerant of that kind of madness. And I think we're starting to see that change culturally with on the gender stuff. I think it needs to happen on the race stuff too, because even if we make all the political changes that we need to make, we still have a problem if you have like white people walking around feeling burdened by guilt for things they didn't do that had nothing to do with them. It's just totally misplaced, ambiguous kind of guilt that they, but a lot of these people just carry around. And we have to get rid of that. It's like, it's actually kind of a freeing message. It's not that we're not saying that we all should be, we all, you know, have things we've done that are wrong. And so if you feel guilt, there might be other things you've actually done in your life you need to explore. But, you don't carry any sins around because of, what people of your race did or didn't do 100 years ago, 200 years ago.
When you, you know, look at the people who you're profiling here, some of them are just absolute grifters. And as you say, one of the things that happens in the film is you show the amounts of money that had to be paid in order to get these people in the room, and they are making absolute bank. I mean, Robin DiAngelo is making a lot of money doing this grift. So you understand why she's doing it. She's doing it because it's a wonderfully lucrative grift. The question is that, you know, you having now inhabited this character, yes, it's pretend, but also, you know, you actually have to try, I assume, to think about what it would be like to be that person in order to be that person. Now, where do you think the attendees at Sarai Rao are coming from? Like, what would motivate a human being to shell out thousands of dollars to go listen to Robin DiAngelo, not to mock her or to expose her, but to actually take her seriously? What is the mindset of a country that takes these people seriously?
I think for those individual people, I would like to think it's as simple as a virtue signal and they're trying to impress their liberal friends or whatever. And I'm sure there's some of that, but you don't sit around the table and pay money to endure that just as a virtue signal. I think you're there because at some fundamental level you really believe it. And so for those people, they are true believers. And I think that on this issue in particular, if I were to psychoanalyze, I think a lot of it does come down to guilt. And people are carrying around a lot of guilt. Everyone carries around guilt. And part of the problem is that in the past, we had a way of understanding the guilt that we all feel. And you understood it in a religious context. You understood it as a spiritual problem. And there was also a remedy, which changes from religion to religion. But every religion has like a remedy for the guilt. Like, here's what you do with that. The religion says to you, you feel guilty. You should. Because here are bad things that you're doing. Here's what you do about that. Here's what you do with that. And as we become a secular society, we don't have that message anymore. So people still have the guilt, though. And so they're like looking around, like, why do I feel this way? What do I do with this? How do I explain it? And then you have the DEI grifters, the race grifters, that come in with an answer. And their answer is, well, it's because you're white. Because it's all racial. And by the way, here's what you can do to atone for that. Now, for people who aren't white, it's still a similar thing, because another thing people can walk around feeling is, you know, you feel like you're not where you want to be in life. You feel like you haven't progressed as much as you want. We all have, to a certain extent or another, like an inferiority complex, you know. And so the message from the race grifters, if you're in the non-white category, is, yeah, well, you feel that way because there's this conspiracy against you by these people over here. And so we're going to give you a way to channel those feelings. And so I think that's what's happening with a lot of these people.
Yeah, that's such a great point about, you know, the kind of misinterpretation of guilt. Because as you say, most mainstream religions will say that there are activities that human beings participate that we all sin. That's just what we are. That we both have an identity problem because we're sinful creatures or creatures capable of sin. But also because we sin. I mean, just on a daily basis, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to break the rules. You're going to do things deliberately that you know violate the rules, and that's a sin. And then you have to address yourself with God and make yourself right with your fellow human being and God in order to alleviate all that. And secular leftism says there's no such thing as sin. Sin doesn't actually exist. So when it comes to your own personal activity, there's what the state says is wrong, which is not quite a sin. It's just kind of what the state says is wrong. But there's no reason for you to ever feel guilty about the things that you do. There's only, but that guilt has to go somewhere. So maybe you should feel guilty about the thing that you are, but not how you identify yourself. How about the things that are immutable? So we moved from you feeling guilty about the things that are mutable about you, namely your actions, your attitudes toward the world, the things that you do in the world, to guilt about the things that are immutable about you, your race, your sex, the things you were born with, right? All of that's the stuff that you, and I guess that's a good way of avoiding the guilt, because as soon as you declare that you're guilty for having done that, there's literally nothing more you can do. There's no actual corrective action you can take to fix immutable guilt. Immutable guilt is upon you, and so the minute you acknowledge it, it's now been expiated.
And there's a certain amount of pride, because in a religious context, yes, it's about pointing you towards, yes, there are sins you're committing, you shouldn't commit them, but there isn't, or at least there shouldn't be any pride in the religious person of, like, recognizing that something is a sin. But over here, there's a certain pride for the white person who says, "Oh yeah, I'm guilty of being white." And the moment they acknowledge that, then they take this almost weird, sick pride in the fact that they realize how terrible they are for being white, and they get to feel. Now they'll say all the time that they're not better than anybody else, but they clearly feel like they're better than the average white person for having recognized this about themselves. And then, and you know they feel that way, because then a lot of them will turn around
and lecture the other way.
And lecture the other way and charge money to, just because now they are part of the enlightened few.
So you become a licensed DEI expert in the film. How hard was it to penetrate these circles? And because then you actually, in the film, it's not really a giveaway because there's a clip of it, you actually end up like giving DEI advice to people. How hard was it to penetrate this industry once you have your DEI certification, which I assume comes with some sort of Cracker Jack box or something?
Not hard at all. Extremely easy. It's very easy to get certified. And it's, once you are certified, it's very easy to get anywhere you want. Like it really does. That might change now, but when we made the film, at least when we were in production, it really does open up like any door that you want to open. Probably because it never occurred to them that anybody would be as terrible as we are and exploit it in this way. So I don't know. I might have ruined it for the next person who wants to come along.
You destroy the entire industry now. So there goes a multi-billion-dollar industry, Matt.
First you take
out the transing of the kids industry, and now you're taking out the DEI industry, just single-handedly destroying the American economy. It's just causing a new Great Depression. Unbelievable, this guy.
That's the hope.
And so all right, give me your quick 5-second, not 5 seconds, but give me your quick TED Talk spiel. You're the DEI expert. Put on the persona. Pitch me on the DEI TED Talk here.
Well, look, what I discovered with being a DEI trainer myself is that, you know, you're not saying anything. You just have to have, there's certain buzzwords you have to know, and you just have to keep coming back to those buzzwords. A big one is decolonize yourself, decolonize your whiteness. I still don't know what that, I honest to God, I'm not just saying, I don't know what that means. After producing this film for a year and a half and hearing it a million times, I don't know what it means. I don't. But it doesn't matter. That's the great thing about it. Just say it. It's all you have to do is say to someone, you have to decolonize your whiteness. If you look serious while you say it, that's it. They're not going to ask you, you know, what do you mean by that? Because the other thing we discovered is that, the people you're talking to, they don't want to admit that they don't know what you're saying because they feel like they should know these terms. That's one of the tools of the woke trade here, is that they use these totally made up terms and they throw them into conversation, and they know the people listening aren't going to want to ask, like, what does that mean? Because if you ask that question, it means that you've already exposed yourself as not like part of the club. So everybody just sits there and they listen and they nod along. So decolonize yourself is a big one. Whiteness is a big one. Journey. We're always going on a journey. We're always on a journey somewhere. It's not about the destination. It's just you're on the journey. And you just kind of circle around those themes over and over and over again. It never ends.
Well, if you've not yet bought your ticket, folks, you really need to. miracist.com to buy your tickets. Matt is going to be in theaters, obviously, September 13th. Congratulations on another phenomenal piece of work that took an enormous amount of effort. It's going to destroy, again, another entire swath of the left-wing economy. So I can't wait to see what you do next, and I'm slightly horrified to find out what the pitch will be.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right, folks, we've reached the end of today's show. We'll be back here Monday with much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor. Vice President Kamala Harris, campaigning in Michigan, pledged to be a friend to organized labor. Former President Trump held a town hall meeting with service members in North Carolina. With reports on both presidential candidates reaching out to working class voters in the final weeks of the election, your special correspondent Jackie Quinn.
The battleground state of Michigan seen both candidates in 2 days focusing on labor.
When unions are strong, America is strong.
Vice President Kamala Harris outside Detroit speaking with union firefighters about the benefits of collective bargaining, denouncing former President Trump as a union buster. Trump was in Michigan Thursday. Working class voters could tip the scales in this year's election. The Teamsters Union, which generally supports Democrats, declined to endorse Harris this year, but the UAW Sean Fain campaigned with her in Flint.
Donald Trump is a scam!
I'm Jackie Quinn.
Also at townhall.com, another record close set on Wall Street.
Stocks rallied on Wall Street after a surprisingly strong report on the U.S. job market. S&P 500 climbed 0.9% Friday, getting closer to the all-time high it set on Monday. The Dow rose 341 points, that's about 0.8%, setting its own record high. The Nasdaq Composite rose 1.2%. Companies that tend to benefit the most from an improving economy led the gains. That included smaller companies, banks, and cruise ship operators. Treasury yields soared in the bond market. The stronger-than-expected hiring data led traders to abandon bets that the Federal Reserve might make another jumbo-sized cut in interest rates at its next meeting. Seth Sutel, New York.
Israel has carried out a series of punishing airstrikes in the southern suburbs of Beirut. Strikes have also cut off the main border crossing between Lebanon and Syria for tens of thousands of people fleeing Israel bombardment. The overnight blasts in Beirut's southern suburbs sent huge plumes of smoke in the air.
You just grin and bear it or bite the bullet when it comes to everyday pain? Don't. Try Relief Factor, a drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Relief Factor doesn't just mask pain, it helps reduce or even eliminate it. It's 100% drug-free, it's developed by doctors. In 3 weeks or less, you'll know whether it works for you like it works for me. Try Relief Factor for yourself. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF and save on your first order. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF.
With Progressive, you get more than savings. You get access to us through our mobile app, online chat, or by phone.
Oh, I see what you're doing here, Jamie. Giving me all these ways to stay in touch so I have no excuse not to. Well, you're in luck, because this guy's in the market for a new BFF.
Actually, all our customers can contact us this way.
Oh, yeah, no, I was just kidding.
But I am always up for Taco Pizza!
Jinx!
Get help from Progressive through the website, app, chat, or phone. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
A man in Western Australia who tied the hands of three children who trespassed on his property has been found guilty of aggravated common assault.
Mr. Radlick's lawyers said he made a lawful citizen's arrest. Prosecutors argued his actions were dehumanizing. He'd been charged with three counts of aggravated assault. He was found guilty of two of the charges and acquitted of the third because the eldest child had managed to break free and escape and so had been restrained for a shorter period of time. Mr. Radlick was also handed down a fine of $1,368.
Wars, a refugee crisis, famine, and artificial intelligence could all be recognized with Nobel Prizes. Civil grassroots groups and international organizations with missions to mitigate violence in the Middle East could be under consideration for the Peace Prize, but it's also possible that no Peace Prize will be awarded at all, given the growing violence in the world. More news at townhall.com. Settlement checks related to Norfolk Southern's disastrous derailment last year could be delayed.
The checks could be pushed back up to 2 years now because an appeal of a federal judge's decision to approve the $600 million deal has been filed. Many residents of East Palestine, Ohio, expressed outrage online about the appeal because it will delay the payments they had been counting on to help them recover from the toxic train crash that disrupted their lives when it spewed hazardous chemicals into their community. Some had planned to use the money to relocate. John Scott reporting.
America's employers added a surprisingly strong 254,000 jobs last month, easing concerns about a weakening labor market and suggesting that the pace of hiring is still solid enough to support a growing economy. Last month's gain was far more than economists had expected, up sharply from the 159,000 jobs that were added in August. You'll find more at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor.
Hi, this is Cindy at Laux Landscape Supply, and we're excited to celebrate our fifth anniversary with you. October 4th through the 13th is your chance to save big on products like 2.5-gallon Ranger Pro for only $59 a jug, low mulch mix for only $36 a yard, or pavers for your new walkway or patio start at $3.99 a square foot. It's that time of year to prevent the weeds before they start with 50-pound bags of Dimension pre-emergent covering over 10,000 square feet and on sale for only $33.99 a bag. Considering a water feature, we have pond liner pumps and all the accessories to make your water feature come to life. Needing to prep the driveway before the winter rains? Road base starts at $34 a yard. Maybe you're planning a winter garden this year. Our popular Garden Power Soil will be on sale for only $51.99 a yard. So come celebrate and save with us at Laux Landscape Supply October 4th through the 13th at the intersection of Dersh, Turn Creek, and Airport Road. Check us out online at LauxLandscape.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. For all your construction, landscape supplies, and rental needs, Laux Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Thanks for tuning in to the Matt Walsh Show. Today on the Matt Walsh Show, the federal government has run out of money to help the victims of Hurricane Helene, but they do have enough money to dole out to illegal immigrants. We'll take a look at that. Also, a 70-year-old Trump supporter is sent to prison for 9 years for, she says, trying to verify the integrity of the 2020 election. Politico warns that J.D. Vance may seem scary to female voters because he has a beard. And you'll never believe it, but the Internet is very mad at me. Again, I'll respond to the latest outrage and hopefully clear it up today. That and much more today on the Matt Walsh Show. One of the excuses you always hear when there is a massive failure by the Biden-Harris administration is that no one could have possibly seen it coming. No one could have predicted that the Inflation Reduction Act would actually increase inflation. No one could have predicted that the Afghan government would collapse immediately after we pulled out our troops, leading to a security breakdown and the deaths of 13 U.S. military personnel. No one could have predicted that shipping pallets of cash to Iran would provide funding for a new campaign of terrorist attacks by Iran's proxies and so on. The truth, though, of course, is that all of these disasters were easily foreseeable. The problem is that the people in charge of predicting the consequences of all these policies are either grossly incompetent or malicious. At every step, they have lied to Americans about what they know or should know was about to happen. And there's maybe no better illustration of this problem than the federal government's response to Hurricane Helene, which has now killed more than 200 people. And 200 people may be a gross underestimate when all is said and done. We still do not even know the full scale of this disaster, except that it's massive. So take a look at what the DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas was saying just 3 months ago. Mayorkas, as head of the DHS, oversees the Federal Disaster Relief Agency, FEMA. Well, on June 21st, Mayorkas went in front of the cameras to boast that FEMA was, quote, tremendously prepared for the upcoming hurricane season. In fact, he doesn't just say that FEMA is tremendously prepared for hurricanes. He says that they're prepared for wildfires, extreme heat, a variety of other disasters. He can handle all of it, he says. Watch.
The FEMA is tremendously prepared. This is what we do. This is what they do. And the key here, Rebecca, is also to make sure that the communities who are potentially impacted are prepared as well. And it's not just hurricanes and wildfires, also extreme heat, which certainly some parts of the United States are already experiencing.
This is what we do, says Mayorkas as he smiles. It's all very reassuring. Now, admittedly, the words tremendously prepared can be interpreted in a few different ways. And unfortunately, my orcas wasn't more specific, but ordinarily, when the official overseeing a disaster relief agency says that they are tremendously prepared, they're saying that, at a minimum, they have all the resources they need to quickly and effectively respond to whatever natural disasters may occur. So it was more than a little confusing to hear the DHS secretary on Wednesday announcing that, actually, FEMA is out of money. They don't even have the cash to make it through hurricane season. Watch.
Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas sounding the alarm on FEMA funding right after the devastation of Hurricane Helene. Listen.
We are meeting the immediate needs with the money that we have. We are expecting another hurricane hitting. We do not have the funds. FEMA does not have the funds to make it through the season.
This all comes as the Biden-Harris administration spent over $1 billion from a FEMA program on services for migrants.
Now, it's easy to become desensitized to all the lying that we've heard from this administration. It's easy to roll your eyes when you see even more evidence that these people, at a minimum, and at best, are grossly incompetent. But this is truly another level. You know, imagine this kind of thing happening in literally any business in the country. Imagine the cook at IHOP telling his boss that he's tremendously prepared for the breakfast rush, and then the customers show up, and actually turns out there's no flour, there's no eggs, there's no bacon in the kitchen. They need an emergency shipment because they're all out of ingredients. How long do you think that cook would have a job exactly? 5 seconds? Less? As you just heard at the tail end of that Fox News report, this is starting to look like something much worse than incompetence. It looks a bit like embezzlement, actually. First of all, didn't the government's fiscal year just start on October 1st? How are they out of money already? And why exactly was FEMA administering billion-dollar services, quote-unquote, to foreign nationals, including illegal aliens, living inside this country? As the New York Post reports, quote, the Department of Homeland Security allocated $640 million this year in FEMA-administered funds to aid state and local governments coping with the influx of asylum seekers. And DHS allocated $780 million for the migrant crisis last year through the FEMA Emergency Food and Shelter Program, which funds relief not associated with natural disasters, and the FEMA Shelter and Services Program, which was authorized in late 2022 by Congress to respond to the migrant crisis. Now, that money, according to the DHS website, goes to families and individuals encountered by the Department of Homeland Security. There doesn't need to be an emergency or a natural disaster or anything like that. These people just need to come into this country illegally, and they're eligible. And so they're getting paid while our own citizens are stranded in their homes and drowning. In response to this reporting, the DHS claimed that Congress didn't authorize that $1.4 billion to go to American citizens. It was supposedly earmarked for the migrant crisis, meaning it was never intended for Americans, which is supposed to be reassuring. It's supposed to be a defense when they say, oh, no, yeah, we were never going to spend that money on Americans. Yeah, we believe you. That's the problem, you scumbags. But in any event, that still doesn't explain why the DHS secretary said FEMA was well prepared just 3 months ago. And more importantly, it doesn't explain why we're spending so much money on providing food and shelter to illegal migrants when we don't even have enough money to fund disaster relief for American citizens. When we are in a country now where there could be American citizens in an American town in this country who are stranded in their homes for days on end. I mean, that should not happen at all in this country. It is a disgrace that could happen at all with all the resources that we have, that there could be people stranded for days on end. How are we not in a position where we can get them out within hours with all the money that's being spent? And that's not even getting into the hundreds of billions of dollars we've spent to, we've sent to Ukraine, which comes out to more than $5,000 per Ukrainian. And keep that in mind, $5,000 per Ukrainian, because by comparison, American citizens are not getting nearly as much. As the Post reports, quote, a relatively paltry $4 million has been paid directly to families and individuals in the week since Hurricane Helene ravaged the southeast, killing at least 202 people, causing severe flood damage from Florida to North Carolina. For her part, Acting President Kamala Harris has announced that affected families in this country are eligible for a grand total of $750 in FEMA assistance. Watch.
And the federal relief and assistance that we have been providing has included FEMA providing $750 for folks who need immediate needs being met, such as food, baby formula, and the like. And you can apply now for anyone who's watching this who has been affected. There are FEMA personnel who are going door to door to interact personally with folks, especially those who do not have electricity. But also that aid, if you have electricity, can be applied for online, and I encourage people to do that. FEMA will just basically verify your address, and then the process should take hold.
Wow, $750. You know, your home is destroyed. You've lost literally everything. You've lost everything that you've ever owned is gone, and you're going to get $750, which, by the way, is more than five times less than we have spent on Ukraine per Ukrainian. So $750, that's what FEMA can give American citizens who just lost their homes. And to be clear, that's not because this hurricane season was unusually catastrophic, and it's not because FEMA has been doing heroic work that turned out to be far more expensive than they could have possibly anticipated. In reality, FEMA has reported that it's been running out of money for a long time now. A year ago, in the middle of hurricane season, FEMA disclosed that it was experiencing a massive budget shortfall of several billion dollars. This is a report from July of 2023. Watch.
Hurricane season is underway, but word comes tonight that the FEMA funds many storm victims count on may soon run out.
Western News reporter Greg Fox explains what lawmakers and state emergency managers are doing to make sure that we are prepared.
We all in survival mode.
So far, the Federal Emergency Management Agency has spent more than $9 billion in the wake of Hurricane Ian. But FEMA relief has been spread across the country to areas hit by wildfires, floods, mudslides, and more. And the money is running out. According to the May Disaster Relief Fund monthly report, funds are projected to run out next month. The immediate disaster funding shortfall is projected to be $2.7 billion near the end of August and $10 billion near the end of September.
Now, as you just heard from that report, FEMA's excuse last year was that there was a lot of unexpected disasters, fires, mudslides, and so on. So you'd think that after running out of money, they'd make sure to cover the budget shortfall in time for the next hurricane season. After all, the federal government can print money out of thin air for whatever reason it wants. They don't care about inflation, as we've learned. They'll just print it if they care enough. So why did that happen here? Was there some issue with the money printer? Did Congress reject the budget for some reason? If so, at the very least, you'd expect the DHS secretary would complain about that. You wouldn't think he'd go on television to brag about how tremendously prepared they are. That's especially true after FEMA's failed handling of the Maui fires last year. As you might remember, residents said that FEMA's assistance was both scattershot and insufficient after the blaze. They were also outraged that FEMA officials were hanging out in luxury hotels instead of helping. Watch.
FEMA booked themselves in the five-star luxury Hawaiian resorts.
These photos making national news headlines, calling attention to FEMA workers on Maui in what appears to show them relaxing in five-star hotels. At the cocktail bar and at a registration desk at the Grand Wailea, another photo shows FEMA workers on their laptops at the Fairmont Kealani. It's rubbing devastated Lahaina residents the wrong way as they deal with the deaths of more than 100 people and a historic community wiped out.
I feel sick.
Dustin Kaleopu lost his home in the Lahaina fire.
So they're seeing government employees or government volunteers staying in these luxury accommodations, being funded by taxpayers. That's where a lot of the frustration comes from.
A FEMA official we spoke with does not deny they are staying at five-star hotels and that taxpayers' money is paying for lodging for employees and survivors, but says it's not what it looks like.
FEMA personnel and responders are not here on vacation. We're all here for the residents of Maui and the survivors of this terrible incident.
It's not what it looks like, says FEMA. And, you know, maybe that's true. Maybe it was vitally necessary for FEMA to rent out a bunch of luxury hotels in Hawaii somehow, for some reason. You know, we really don't know. But every indication we have now is that this agency isn't capable of managing its budget or responding effectively to disasters. Doesn't seem particularly interested in responding effectively. So there are a lot of reasons to ask questions about this whole arrangement, especially after everything we've seen. Will anyone in the media ask about any of this? Probably not. Deanne Criswell is the woman who runs FEMA. She happens to be the first woman to ever hold that job. So she has the whole identity politics angle, you know, going for. Maybe that's why, as FEMA suffers one humiliation after another, no one's even suggesting that she should lose her job, along with the DHS secretary. Or maybe Deanne Criswell is untouchable because the Biden-Harris administration wants her to do exactly what she's doing, which is to sabotage recovery efforts. Maybe that's what the government wants. They're certainly doing everything they can to create that impression. The local CBS affiliate in North Carolina just reported that 1,000 soldiers in the state are sitting around and doing nothing instead of assisting in disaster relief. There's a bit of a theme here emerging. Quote, President Joe Biden activated 1,000 U.S. Army soldiers for deployment to Western North Carolina. More than 24 hours later, troops are still waiting to be deployed from Fort Liberty. The soldiers are supposed to assist with delivering food and essential supplies to isolated communities devastated by Helene. The U.S. Army said soldiers with the 18th Airborne Corps at Fort Liberty are standing by and ready if the request for support comes. The North Carolina Army National Guard, which is leading the ground recovery efforts, tells CBS 17 they're still assessing the needs in the area, and they have not made an official request for support from the U.S. Army. So the Army hasn't been called in for something. They're there, they're ready, but they're not being called. 1,000 soldiers have been activated, but they're not doing anything because they haven't been given anything to do. Meanwhile, civilians who try to help are being prevented from doing so. Here's Congressman Corey Mills explaining that because Joe Biden was in the area, the federal government just prevented civilian rescue pilots and aid workers from saving lives in the aftermath of this disaster. Watch.
The other thing is that yesterday, for President Biden's, you know, dog and pony show to come in and see photos, he put a 30-mile TFR, which is basically a restriction, in the air zone, which means that he actually stopped from 12 o'clock until 4 p.m. He stopped air traffic and helos from transferring supplies, dropping SAR teams, picking up individuals for medevacs. So that was not only irresponsible, but if you're going to come a week later, at least make sure that you're not trying to, you know, hinder in any way further the actual operations that are being led by civilian organizations and veterans such as myself and others that are trying to do what is right. And so I found the entire response so far to be not just lacking, but irresponsible and inept.
So to recap, FEMA doesn't provide early warning or timely mandatory evacuation orders. They don't provide any significant assistance after the storm. They divert huge amounts of resources to foreign nationals who have no legal justification for being in this country. They shut down the airspace to block civilian rescue flights. They say they're out of money. And just 3 months ago, they told us they were tremendously prepared for hurricane season. You know, watching all this, you have to ask yourself, why you're even paying taxes? I mean, why are we paying FEMA billions of dollars every year only to make disasters even more deadly? Why are we funneling our money to people who clearly hate us and have no interest in helping, doing the job that they're paid to do? Ask yourself, if the Biden-Harris administration wanted to go out of its way to punish American citizens, wanted to actually cause suffering, what exactly would they be doing differently? You know, at some point, complete and total incompetence is indistinguishable from malice. And anyone who's been paying attention to FEMA over the past year, as well as everyone living in the areas that have been decimated by this hurricane, knows that we are now well past that. We'll be back with the Matt Walsh Show in just a minute. Don't go anywhere.
Join us as we celebrate a milestone in American history, the 249th birthday of the United States Marine Corps. Mark your calendars for November 10th at the Wind River Event Center, where everyone is invited to honor the Marines in style. The celebration kicks off with a march to colors featuring the Jefferson Pipes and Drums as we pay tribute to our oldest and youngest Marines. This unforgettable evening includes a delicious dinner, birthday cake, and dancing. Tickets are just $45, and they're going fast, so secure yours. Visit ShastaMarines.com. That's ShastaMarines.com. Don't miss out on this special event. Tickets are just $45, and they're going fast, so secure yours. Visit ShastaMarines.com. Again, that's ShastaMarines.com. Don't miss out on this special event. We can't wait to celebrate with you on November 10th at the Wind River Event Center. See you there.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Make Mondays the best day of the week with Monday Night Football at Wind River Resort and Casino. Come on down to catch your favorite team on any of our 13 screens inside overtime. Join us for an epic watch party packed with excitement, good company, and amazing prizes. 49ers, home game tickets up for grabs all season long. Enjoy the delicious stadium snacks menu. Get your team gear on. Grab your friends and see why Mondays are the talk of the football season. For complete details, visit windriver.com. And find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show.
I briefly mention this. This is a fun story from a few days ago. Fox News reports social media users mocked Mother Jones editor-in-chief Clara Jeffrey after she publicly complained about a flight attendant wishing her and other passengers a blessed night at the end of a recent flight. Jeffrey ridiculed the flight attendant in a recent expo, saying her send-off was evidence of creeping Christian nationalism in the country and pointing out all the other less Christian adjectives she could have used. What she actually tweeted was, creeping Christian nationalism alert. Alaska Air flight attendant just wished us a blessed night as we landed in SFO, which is the San Francisco airport, to groans. Other adjectives that would have sufficed, great, awesome, fabulous, amazing, fantastic. She added, as my roommate said, this ain't Montgomery, sweetie. So Clara Jeffrey has since taken this post down. She deleted it. She was absolutely hammered for it. Ruthlessly mocked and derided for complaining about someone saying have a blessed night, justifiably made fun of. Meanwhile, of course, the internet went to work on her, and they did what the internet does, and they very quickly, many people have uncovered several examples, including really recent examples of Clara Jeffrey herself using the term blessed in the same context. She had said exactly the thing that offended her when the flight attendant said it. In fact, she had even specifically praised other people, including Obama, I believe, for using the phrase, God bless. So this woman is a shameless hypocrite. No surprise there. Bless her heart, of course. But this story does, I think, illustrate an important point. It goes to show what the label Christian nationalist now means, because it gets tossed around a lot. We're constantly told that we need to worry about these Christian nationalists. And you might think, well, if you don't know any better, you'll think, what's wrong with being a Christian nationalist? Isn't that just a nationalist who is also Christian? And isn't a nationalist simply someone who prioritizes his own nation? So isn't a Christian nationalist a Christian who prioritizes his own nation, which is another way of saying patriot? You might think that, but that's not what the left means when they say it. In fact, it hasn't been exactly clear what they do mean. Except that we're supposed to be afraid of these people, these Christian nationalists, whoever they are and whatever they believe. Well, now we know. Now we have more clarity about what is meant by Christian nationalist. A Christian nationalist is someone who wishes you a blessed day on an airplane. Somebody who says, God bless you when you sneeze is a Christian nationalist. So in other words, a Christian nationalist is just a Christian. even though, I mean, really, you could say have a blessed day or you could say God bless you and not even be a Christian. But the thing that offends her about it is that she suspects that this is evidence that this flight attendant is Christian. So she's connecting the two. And what actually offends her is the faith of this, the alleged faith of this flight attendant. So a Christian nationalist is just a Christian of any type is now a Christian nationalist. Or maybe we should say a Christian nationalist is a Christian who does or says something publicly to make their faith known. Because I think Claire Jeffrey would be the first to say that, no, she doesn't have a problem with you being Christian. Just don't, as long as you're Christian only in your head and you don't ever do or say anything publicly to ever indicate that that's your religion, then it's fine. She might even let you go to church if you're lucky, for now anyway. But once you start to let the light shine so that it's not hidden under a basket, then you're a Christian nationalist and you're a terrible person. That's the basic idea. We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
Experience fall family fun at this year's Turtle Bay Oktoberfest, happening Saturday, October 12th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. right here at Paul Bunyan's Forest Camp. Enjoy local breweries, food, live music, animals, games, and more. Oktoberfest-themed costumes are encouraged. Each ticket includes your first beer or root beer for the kids. Presented by Liquor Barn and Sasquatch Car Wash. So join us Saturday, October 12th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. for Turtle Bay's Oktoberfest. Grab tickets today at turtlebay.org.
It's fall, y'all, and that means pumpkin flavors are here. Get on over to Black Bear Diner and get your fill of everyone's favorite sweet cream pancakes, drizzled with pumpkin pie sauce and topped with whipped cream and maple syrup. Visit Black Bear Diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive or order online at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. You've been in an accident with your vehicle. You call your insurance. The first thing they do is tell you where to go to get an estimate and repairs. Well, tell them where to go and come see us at Coachmaster. They're sending you to their discount repair shop to get the cheapest repair possible. This is not in your best interest. You have the right to choose Coachmaster to do your repairs. All we need is your claim number and we can handle the entire process. At Coachmaster, we don't repair your vehicle for the insurance company. We repair it for you. We use quality parts and products to ensure the highest quality repairs. Your vehicle will be returned to a pre-loss condition. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
The Ready Sash Alliance is dedicated to making sewing, fashion, and business education accessible for everyone. We are a nonprofit located at 1616 Market Street. Get ready for November 9th as we present Artisan Avenue, the craft of fashion. Experience a runway of a blend of couture fashion to wearable art. Tickets will be available starting October 1st on our website at readingfashionalliance.org. Our call for fashion designers for Artisan Avenue is open until August 31st. Visit our website for more information on how to enter into the fashion show.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
And we're back with the Matt Walsh Show.
I want to talk about this case, and first I'm going to read this. Well, it's a heavily biased article from ABC News. Biased, but the essential information is in there, at least to set up the conversation that I want to have about this. So here's ABC News. Former Mesa County, Colorado clerk Tina Peters was sentenced to 9 years in prison for leading a security breach of the county's election system after being inspired by false and baseless claims of voting fraud. Peters, a Republican, was convicted for giving an individual affiliated with MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell, an ally of former President Donald Trump, access to the election software she used for her county. Screenshots of the software appeared on right-wing websites. She was found guilty on most of the charges related to election tampering and misconduct. Before being sentenced, Peters took the stand, asked for probation, and told the judge that she never did anything with malice and believed she was serving the people in Mesa County. "I'm not a criminal, and I don't deserve to go into a prison where other people have committed heinous crimes," Peters said. And then she said that she's remorseful. But all to no avail, she was sentenced to 9 years in prison. Let me play just a clip of this judge. Now, this judge excoriated Tina Peters at length before passing down this sentence. And we'll play just a little bit of the clip of this scene in the courtroom. Let's watch.
"You have no problem trying to kick an officer. Your explanation about what happened is preposterous. It's on video. You have no problem lying to officers. It's happened multiple times. They're recorded conversations. It's just more lies. No objective person believes them. No, at the end of the day, you cared about the jets, the podcasts, and the people fawning over you. You abdicated your position as a servant to the Constitution, and you chose you over all else. Yes, you are a charlatan, and you cannot help but lie as easy it is for you to breathe. You betrayed your oath for no one other than you. As to counts 1 and 4, the judgment and sentence of the court is 3.5 years in the Department of Corrections. Those sentences will be concurrent to each other. As to count 2, the judgment and sentence of the court is 3.5 years consecutive to counts 1 and 4. As it relates to the misdemeanor charges, count 8 is 120 days in the Mesa County Detention Facility, concurrent to count 9 and 10, which will be 6 months in the Mesa County Detention Facility, consecutive to the prison sentence. The reason those sentences are consecutive is because those sentences are, as the prosecution stated, directly related to what it is that you did here in our community, the damage you caused this community, the breach of your oath to the electorate in Mesa County. Your sentence will be followed by 3 years of parole. You have 2 days of pre-sentence confinement credit. Count 6 is criminal impersonation. That's also consecutive. That's 15 months to the Department of Corrections. So it's 8.5 years total plus the 6 months for a total of 9 years of incarceration.
So 9 years in prison, the judge rips her to shreds and then sends her to prison for 9 years. This woman's almost 70 years old, by the way. Gold star mom, cancer survivor. She'll probably now die in prison. And I'm not interested in debating the merits of the case itself. Let's accept all the facts the prosecutor presented. She illegally accessed a voting machine, I guess. She, whatever, took pictures and sent them. And she did it because she believed that she was uncovering voter fraud. And I think that there's agreement on that point, by the way. She wasn't accused of hacking into the machines to rig the election, right? This is all after the fact. And it was done, in her mind anyway, to uncover or reveal a rigged election. You know, she said in the sentencing that she thought she was serving the people of her county. And I think that that's pretty apparent that that's what she thought. Otherwise, why would you do it? What would be the motive? Now, if you commit a crime just because you thought you were doing the right thing, that's not an excuse. That's not going to get you off the hook. But these are the kinds of things that are weighed in sentencing. But they didn't amount to anything. Here, 9 years in prison. All of these consecutive. Notice he said all these convicted on all these charges consecutive. He could have done concurrent on all of it, but, you know, and even reduced it to 3 years, which would also be crazy. But no, he wants, he threw the book at her. He wants her to spend as much time in prison as possible. So 9 years in prison for a 70-year-old woman who is not in any way a danger to society. A woman with no previous criminal record. A woman who could be let back into society, and she could move in next door to you and you'd have no reason to worry, right? There's not anyone in the country who would feel unsafe having this woman in the neighborhood. But 9 years. You know, you could pull out a gun and rob the gas station down the street and get less time than that. In fact, you'd almost certainly get less time. You could kill someone and get less time. You could certainly deal drugs and get much less time. Commit assault, abuse a child. I mean, criminals guilty of all of these crimes are routinely given less time. And on top of it, treated with more respect by the judge. It wouldn't be that hard to find child molesters who get more gentle treatment from the judge and get less time in prison. And these are all criminals who actually are dangerous to their communities. These are the kinds of people you certainly would not want living next door to you. These are the kinds of people who not only are their crimes much more egregious and so they deserve stiffer penalties, but also you can't, it's almost an act of attempted murder to not put them in prison. You are directly endangering the lives of the community by not putting them in prison for the rest of their lives. These are actual violent predators who are not reformed, probably will never be reformed. Violent, dangerous sociopaths who routinely get fewer than 9 years in prison. Maybe even fewer than 9 months in some cases. You could go out and carjack somebody at a stoplight right now, and you almost certainly would not get 9 years in prison. You could carjack someone and kill them in the process, and you might not get 9 years in prison. Well, I say you. I guess that depends. Because, and either way, I'm not encouraging you to do any of those things, obviously. But saying you in a general sense, it doesn't necessarily apply, because for Peters, the most salient point is not the crime she committed, it's that she's conservative and white. That's what matters. So she's going to jail for 9 years, not because she... you know, sabotaged a voting machine or hacked into a voting machine and took pictures and sent them around. That's not why she's going to jail. Because if this was a black woman and a Democrat who did this in order to prove that Trump supported that the machines were rigged, against the Democrats, in that scenario, she's not going to jail for 9 years. We all know that. Like, every single person knows that. She's not going to jail at all. So even in the crimes I just listed, I mean, carjacking, murder, drug dealing, if you're a white conservative and you did any of those things, now conservatives don't generally do those things, but if you're a white conservative and you did any of those things I listed, maybe you would get 9 years in prison or more. But if you're black, or if you're more politically aligned with the judge, or better yet for you, both, no way. So this is not justice at all. We don't have justice in this country. We don't have we call it a justice system, but a justice system implies that there is a system that imposes justice. It's right there in the name. And we don't have that. This is not a shock, of course. We know that in other courts around the country, they are similar sentences have been passed down to pro-lifers. Yet again, for the most part, white, and all of them are conservative. So if you're a white conservative and you find yourself in court charged with any crime, you can just pretty much be assured that look at what the law says. What's the maximum penalty? You already know that's what you're getting. We'll be right back with more after a quick break to hear from our sponsors. If you want the easiest, most straightforward way to put your sports knowledge to work, you need to download America's number one daily fantasy sports app, Prize Picks. I mean it when I tell you that it's incredibly simple. All you have to do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. That's it. No complicated rules, no hoops to jump through. Just pick and watch the winnings roll in. But Prize Picks doesn't just make winning easy. They make getting paid a breeze, too. All withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. I'm talking 15 minutes from win to cash in hand. If only the DMV could operate with that kind of efficiency, we might actually get something done in this country. But after hearing about this app and seeing all the great reviews, our show's camera assistant, Mike, is really excited to set up his own Prize Picks account and build a lineup with some of his favorite players like Daniel Jones and Andy Dalton. Some of the best players in the league. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code Walsh to get $50 instantly when you pay $5. That's code Walsh on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play at $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks. Run your game. We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There is a tremendous price war in the term life industry. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man aged 45, non-smoker, can get $1 million of coverage for $75 per month, level rate for 10 years. Or a man aged 50, non-smoker, can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of $110, level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At TermBusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-smoker rate class. Exam required to qualify.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, Debt Lou is here for you. With Debt Lou's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at Debt Lou are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. Now, you might not have known this, but every once in a while, and by that I mean once every 4 days or so, the internet gets really mad at me. And sometimes the internet is mad because of a stance I've taken on some serious cultural or political issue. But in many cases, the outrage is in response to opinions I've expressed about issues that are arguably less important. Longtime fans of this show will recall some classic examples, like the outrage that ensued when I said that mermaids wouldn't be black in real life because they'd really be translucent, or the overwhelming anger that followed after I declared that all anime is satanic. Some of the greatest hits there. More recently, just a few weeks ago, I was at the center of a firestorm that raged for days and days when I boldly declared that raw milk is gross. And in a follow-up tweet, I revealed that I personally conduct surveillance at my local grocery stores to make sure that they're not selling any raw milk. And if they are selling raw milk, I call the police, and screenshots of that tweet in particular have been plastered all over Twitter as proof that I am a deranged fascist. The most recent fury revolves around comments that I made about sick days. So on this show a couple weeks ago, I said that sick days are for children. Adults who take sick days should be embarrassed. And Media Matters, of course, posted the clip of that segment, not the full segment, you know, but just the 70 to 80 seconds that they consider to be the most outrageous. The peanut gallery on both the right and left dutifully responded by being outraged about the thing that Media Matters wanted them to be outraged about. Now, you might think that by now conservatives would just flat out refuse to ever respond with outrage to a Media Matters clip under any circumstance, given that Media Matters are a bunch of left-wing vultures whose whole entire mission in life is to clip conservatives out of context and gin up outrage against them. You know, but you think conservatives by now would realize that and would say, well, that's a Media Matters clip. I'm going to ignore it. But many conservatives are still more than willing to play the game with Media Matters. Media Matters goes to them and says, hey, you should be mad about this. Mad at one of your own people on your side. And they go, okay, I'll be mad. Thanks for telling me to be mad. Which is all great, of course. Well done, everyone. In any case, this week I was interviewed by the talented comedian John Crist on his podcast, and he asked me about this sick day controversy. I clarified my stance, but somehow my clarification has only made people more upset. Let's watch that clip.
So my basic, if your body temperature is below 105,
105,
and you can still walk, get your ass to work.
105 is crazy.
And as long as you don't have a fatal communicable disease.
Yeah.
That's my, because if I'm the boss and someone calls me and says, I can't make it in, I'm sick.
Yeah.
I say, what are you, my first question, are you dying?
Yeah, because you're paying them.
Right. Yeah. And then they say no. I say, okay, well, whatever you have, could you pay? Will I catch it if you come in? If the answer is no to both of those, they're coming to work.
So you just don't want to work. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, well, that's what you're kind of saying.
So
I don't think in high school, I never took a sick day. First of all, I liked going. Well,
You like going to high school?
I thought it was fun. I've never missed a day. I promise you right now, I've never missed a day. So we can go to fact check that. Miss McHugh, call her up.
That's crazy. I missed so many days in high school.
What, if it's not for being sick?
Right, I just didn't want to go.
Oh, well.
So there are hundreds of comments in response. Again, many of them from people on the right who are incensed by that statement. They say that it's unreasonable and callous and insane and unchristlike. Many of them say that I should not talk about this subject at all because I don't know what it's like to work hard. How dare I speak about a subject like work, given that I've never worked a real job in my life? I'm a trust fund, billionaire trust fund baby. I don't know what work is. Now, they have me on that last point, I must admit. Sure, I have, in fact, worked many what they would call real jobs in my life. I've worked two or three jobs at once to make ends meet. But that was a long time ago. In the past 3 years, I haven't really done anything. I've made two feature films while also doing a daily show and supporting a family of eight Which is obviously a total breeze, and certainly any of the people mad at me on the internet right now could easily do the same. Never mind the fact that many of the people accusing me of not having a real job are themselves social media influencers, but we won't get hung up on those details. Let's just get to the substantive point. So first, let me get one thing out of the way. There have been a few commenters, a minority, but they're out there, who have assured the outraged masses that I'm not being entirely serious. According to these people, I'm doing something known in some circles as joking. I am, they say, employing the comedic device of hyperbole and exaggeration. As evidence, they point to the fact that in the clip that we just played, I'm talking to a comedian who is laughing at what I'm saying as one does when they hear a joke. Now, they also claim that I, in fact, use dry humor and sarcasm all the time. They point to the fact that I have a comedy film in theaters right now as we speak where I use exactly that device. You can get your tickets now at amiracist.com. Indeed, these contrarians claim that all of the outrages I listed at the beginning, calling the police on people who drink raw milk, claiming that anime is satanic, translucent mermaids, etc., and many more, are all examples of comedic exaggeration, not meant to be taken entirely literally. According to these people, my long-established style and pattern, one that, again, I have made entire movies around, is to start with the core of a point that I actually believe, and then, on occasion, to take that point to intentionally absurd extremes as a joke. This is something that, you might argue, normal people do in everyday conversation all the time. It's a very common type of humor, one that should be familiar to most earthlings. For example, I was recently talking to a friend who was very distraught because the Steelers were in the process of losing to the Colts. And he declared that he was so frustrated he was about to throw his TV out of the window. Now, I did not respond to that declaration by saying, "Are you crazy? Don't throw your TV out the window. What if you hit someone? Besides, that's not going to help the Steelers win." I didn't say any of that. Instead, I said, "Yeah, man, they suck." And that was it. And that's because I recognized that although it was true that he was upset about the Steelers losing, he wasn't actually going to throw the TV out of the window or throw it anywhere. It was hyperbole. He was exaggerating. He was upset, but he was exaggerating the degree that he was upset. Why did he do that? Well, there's again something called a joke, spelled J-O-K-E, a joke, a thing that human beings do from time to time. Why? Well, just to be funny, I guess. I don't know, but they do it. Human beings are interesting like that. You should meet one sometime. With all that said, I want to make one thing absolutely clear. These contrarians are wrong. Now, it is true that people joke sometimes. I am not joking. I'm not joking about any of it ever. I don't tell jokes. Jokes are satanic. You know who told jokes? Hitler. Well, he probably didn't, but other people have. John Wayne Gacy was a clown and also a serial killer. That's where humor gets you. Think about it. So, if you've taken my point about sick days completely literally, then you have the right idea. No, you are not a brain-dead moron going along with Twitter outrage ginned up by Media Matters. You're not that. Don't worry. You're right. I am not exaggerating to be funny in an attempt to make a point about the lack of work ethic in society. That's definitely not what's happening. I do, in fact, literally think that you should come to work with a 104-degree fever. And let me clarify one other thing. I meant 104 degrees Celsius. If your fever is 104 degrees Celsius or below, which translates to 212 degrees Fahrenheit, then your lazy, good-for-nothing ass better be at work. Essentially, you need to come to work unless you are literally on fire. And even then, if I'm the boss, I'm going to want to know how much of you is on fire. Is this a full immolation, Aaron Bushnell style, or are there parts of you that aren't on fire? If you call me up and say, "Boss, I can't come in, I'm on fire," I say, "What do you mean you're up? What part of you? I need more information." If your head isn't on fire, then I see no reason why you can't make it to work. What if you have a fever of 106 degrees and you're literally minutes away from death? Well, minutes away from death is not dead. Who's exaggerating now? Get to work. What if you just got home from Africa and it turns out that you contracted the Ebola virus? Should you go to work in that case? Well, obviously not. I wouldn't want you in the building with a lethally contagious disease. But there's no reason why you can't be in the parking lot. Go to work, sit in the parking lot, in your car. We'll have one of the more expendable interns bring your work out to you.
If you can't do your work in the car, then you're fired. You didn't have permission to get Ebola in the first place. What are you doing getting Ebola? That's a violation of your employment agreement, specifically page 5, section 3, which says in clear language, employee agrees to not get Ebola. Now, what if rather than sick, you suffer some kind of gruesome accident? What if on the way to work, you get into a car wreck and you somehow impale yourself on like a fence post or something? Well, again, what part of yourself did you impale? It didn't impale all of your limbs, did it? I don't care if you're a human shish kebab. Get to work. And even if you have to go to the hospital, is there any reason why you can't hop on a Zoom call on your way there so you don't miss the 10 o'clock meeting? I'm pretty reasonable about this. And along with being reasonable, I'm also, again, entirely serious about everything I'm saying or have ever said in my entire life ever. And most of all, you should listen to me about this because I know about work. I'm a podcaster. And I'm also serious when I say that anyone who has ever taken a sick day for any reason at all, ever, is today canceled. That's all we have for today. Thanks for listening. Talk to you tomorrow. Godspeed.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor. The search for victims of Hurricane Helene continues, correspondent Jennifer King reports.
Entering the second week after Hurricane Helene, exhausted rescue crews must trudge through mud and debris as they look for residents listed as missing.
Number of missing, we're looking at over 200.
In Asheville, North Carolina, Buncombe County Sheriff Quentin Miller is holding out hope.
We're coming to pick up our people that's out there.
North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper says entire towns have been wiped off the map.
Rescue teams have saved countless lives, and the search for people still goes on.
A lack of phone service and electricity is hindering efforts, and crews clearing trees in the Blue Ridge Mountains are coming upon gullies and washed-out bridges. The U.S. military is sending additional help. I'm Jennifer King.
Also at townhall.com, a federal judge in Missouri put a temporary hold on President Biden's latest student loan cancellation plan.
The hold effectively slams the door on hope that the plan would move forward after another judge allowed a pause to expire. Just as it briefly appeared the Biden administration would have a window to push its plan forward, U.S. District Judge Matthew Shelp in Missouri quickly granted an injunction blocking the plan. Six Republican-led states requested the injunction just hours earlier after a federal judge in Georgia decided not to extend a separate order blocking the plan.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Former President Trump and Georgia Governor Brian Kemp Friday made their first public appearance together in years, putting aside tensions to highlight how Hurricane Helene has devastated the state. The two leaders toured storm damage in the community of Evans, meeting with local officials and families and offering support for those impacted by the storm. America's employers added a surprisingly strong 254,000 jobs last month, easing concerns about a weakening labor market and suggesting that the pace of the hiring is still solid enough to support a growing economy. You'll find more at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor.
If something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. And maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for health care can save many families up to $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. See what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 844-41-BIBLE. That's 844-41-BIBLE. 844-41-BIBLE.
Big taxes will be imposed on imports of electric vehicles from China to the EU after the majority of member states backed the plans.
This was a highly controversial decision. EU officials believe that manufacturers who build electric cars in China benefit from unfair subsidies from the government in Beijing. This could allow them to sell cars more cheaply on the European market than local manufacturers. The tariffs of up to 45% are designed to redress the balance. But the move attracted significant opposition, notably from Germany. There are serious concerns in Berlin that China could retaliate, and this might affect lucrative exports.
The Supreme Court said Friday it will decide whether to block a $10 million lawsuit Mexico filed against leading U.S. gun manufacturers over allegations their commercial practices have helped cause much bloodshed there. You'll find more online at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor. South Carolina has set a date of November 1st for its next execution.
The state ramping up use of the death penalty after a 13-year pause. Richard Moore was sentenced to death in the September 1999 killing of convenience store clerk James Mahoney. The 59-year-old Moore will likely have a choice to die by lethal injection, electrocution, or firing squad. South Carolina restarted its death chamber last month after a long pause caused by the expiration of its lethal injection drugs. A shield law and a change in the drugs used has given the state a new supply. John Scott reporting.
Prosecutors in Los Angeles say they're reviewing new evidence in the case of the Mendez brothers to determine whether they should be serving life sentences for killing their parents in their Beverly Hills mansion more than 35 years ago. Attorneys for Eric and Lyle Menendez have asked the court to vacate their conviction. You'll find more on these stories and news and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor.
Hello, Northern California. This is Rollin with the Flag Center. With fire season clearly upon us, we're inviting you to join us in celebrating all police, firefighters, and first responders who keep us safe day and night through thick and thin. We salute you. The Flag Center keeps plenty of thin blue line and thin red line flags in stock. To get yours, stop by the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. Flags, flagpoles, and accessories since 1980.
Smoke and sap, dirt and grime, leaves and pollen, and even bugs. Just a few things that can possibly damage your vehicle's paint over time, causing it to pit, fade, and oxidize, basically ruining your paint job. Quick and Clean Car Wash can help. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash also offers car wash packages. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Reading's premier licensed legacy cultivator, exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors, freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragons.
Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Taggart and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG-guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no-side-effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult-to-treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by. Get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Reading.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson. And find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Hello, food fans. Chef Cal DiMercurio here, inviting you to tune in each Wednesday for an hour of helping you turn the drudgery of preparing home meals into having fun in the kitchen. We'll be sharing tips, tricks, and tempting insights that are sure to make your time in the kitchen a pleasant and fulfilling one. Come join me and my wife Wednesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. at Cooking Like a Pro, right here on KCNR 1460.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with department staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Financial Advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
Pound me too. Remember when Democrats were all in the way of believing the women, and then suddenly they stopped because they lie all the time. That might have something to do with it. I don't think you can trust people that behave like that. What do you think about that? I think that's true. I think you can't trust them. Pretty remarkable stuff. So we've got that little bit of an update. We were sharing that news and information with you. And now there are more stories to tell out of the sordid, treacherous Kamala Harris household. It sounds awful, doesn't it? You got that and just ignore that whole thing. And like the news media does, ignore that whole thing about the nanny and the baby or not, as the case may be. And my date, he had been dating her for 3 months, brought her to the Cannes Film Festival. Sounds like a pretty good deal until things went south. Things went south in a terrible way. But when you're a Democrat, that's okay. You can be living in the vice president's residence. It's not a news story. Media Research Center found that, and I shared this with you yesterday because we were checking it out as well. And then the Media Research Center, they looked into it, and neither ABC, I'll go alphabetically, nor CBS, nor NBC, nor CNN, now I got to go to cable, it's not alphabetical anymore, MSNBC, there's no mention. They don't mention because, you know, it's campaign time. It's almost election day, and they've got to clean up on aisle Democrat, aisle Emhoff. And his name is Doug, a.k.a. Thug, a.k.a. Thumper. They call him Thumper, and they call him all kinds of things. But they don't call him late for dinner because, you know, that could lead to trouble. You could get in big trouble with Thug, Emhoff, Thumper, and pretty amazing stuff. But did you see Kamala yesterday was very excited to announce, like she's Oprah Winfrey. Like she's Oprah. Hey, I'm sorry that your town was wiped out and is nowhere to be found, but we've got $750 for you. And when I saw this, I was reading it, and I thought, surely that's a typo. She means to say that they have $750 million, right? And no, it turns out what they're saying is if you are in the middle of this Hurricane Helene, which the Democrats created and caused, because they're in charge of the weather now, right? And they said they were going to fix the weather. And now if it's not fixed, that's on them, right? Just like the gang warfare in Chicago between the local Chicago gangs and the Venezuelan gangs, you know, Tren de Aragua, the TDA, and the Democrats set that up, right? But Kamala said, no, you get $750, really. If your house is wiped out, if all kinds of terrible things happen to you because Hurricane Helene, they've got $750 for you. Not $750,000, not $75,000. It might as well be $7.50. We've got, enough for a Subway sandwich. I'm not sure if that's even enough for a Subway sandwich anymore. We've got $7.50 for you. Oh, wait, no, that's a typo. We've got $750. But pay no attention. Amazing stuff. Now, just so far this year, we're about 10 months into the year, we've given $24.4 billion to Ukraine. But if you're in Western North Carolina, here's $750. Right? Israel has gotten $11.3 billion. But even better, they've got a lot of issues. They're fighting our enemies and the enemies of civilization, trying to get our hostages out, even though Joe Biden has never mentioned them. And Kamala Harris is now, and the news media has never asked them about the American hostages being held by Hamas darn near a year later. Today is October 4th, if I'm not mistaken. It was October 7th of last year that the Americans were taken hostage. And has Kamala Harris mentioned them? Has any reporter asked Kamala Harris about the hostages? Or are they afraid they'll embarrass her again? Amazing stuff. So, Ethiopia has gotten $1.95 billion from us. Ethiopia, because, you know, they need some sandwiches. They definitely need some sandwiches. We're buying sandwiches in Ethiopia. Probably buying weapons is more likely the case, because, you know, Joe Biden and the military-industrial complex. Jordan has gotten $1.6 billion, but North Carolina, each person gets $750. Egypt has gotten $1.4 billion just this year, $1.4 billion this year. Afghanistan, the Taliban, we've given them $1.1 billion this year because they need a lot of sticks to beat the nice ladies with, don't they? And what else are they doing? They need rocks. Afghanistan needs rocks? Yeah, well, they're stoning women to death again. So they definitely need $1.1 billion of our money. Isn't that amazing? Well, we gave Ethiopia $1.95 billion this year. We've given Somalia $1.1 billion. Yemen has gotten they've gotten $1 billion, a nice round number. They've gotten Yemen. Now, that's where the Houthi rebels are. And we've given them $1 billion so far this year. But don't worry, Houthi rebels. The year's not out yet. There's more coming. In the Congo, is that the Democratic Republic of Congo? Keep in mind, any country that has the word democratic in its name isn't. That is to say, isn't democratic. Why you have the word democratic and Democratic Republic of Congo? Well, because we're democratic? Yeah, kind of like the Democratic Party is. Syria, where they kill their terrorists all over the place. We've given them $869 million. Isn't that great? And when you look at the illegal aliens in the United States, illegal aliens, and the amount of money we've spent on illegal aliens, that comes out to $9,000 per illegal alien that has entered the U.S. But if you're in storm-ravaged North Carolina, $750 for you. Kamala said it yesterday. She said it with some pride. She looked very prideful when she said, oh, yeah, we got your back.
The federal relief and assistance that we have been providing has included FEMA providing $750 for folks who need immediate needs being met, such as food, baby formula, and the like.
It's always baby formula. Well, maybe you should just move it. Like the DNC at the Democratic National Convention, they had an abortion truck. They brought an abortion truck in, and they were giving vasectomies. Can you imagine standing in line at the DNC to go into the back of a vehicle and get a vasectomy because the Democrat Party is giving them out for free? Because that way there will be fewer people on the planet, and they like fewer people. Eventually, under the Democrat plan, there will be no people on Earth. And then it will have been saved, because then the climate will be better. Or not, as the case may be. Pretty amazing stuff. Yes, sir. And CNN has a fact check today. They do fact checks. They have fact check, colon. That is an appropriately placed colon. Amid bipartisan praise for Biden hurricane response. What? There's bipartisan praise for Biden's hurricane response? He got down there yesterday. Did you see that? But here's the CNN fact check. Amid bipartisan praise for Biden hurricane response, Trump falsely claims that reviews are, quote, universally, end quote, negative. Now, I always point this out. Whenever there's just one word in quotation marks, you know that you're being jerked around because CNN is a terrible, tragic, horrible, corrupt joke. The bipartisan praise for Biden's hurricane response, he got down there yesterday for the first day, more than a week after the event itself. And Kamala, where's Kamala? She's playing Oprah. Everybody look under your seats. $750 for you and $750 for you. And they're fact-checking. They say President Trump, who said that reviews are, quote, universally, end quote, negative. Now, Really? The the only word in quotation marks is universally, and that's what you're fact-checking? Oh, no, 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 no. No, they're not universally negative, because Adam Schiffless said that the hurricane response has been really good, especially good, just amazing. Mm-mm-mm. Man, oh, manischewitz, I am telling you. That's CNN. CNN is a disgrace, my alma mater, an absolute embarrassment, not just to journalism, but to Western civilization itself. That's their fact check. No, it's been great. Now they're spinning it because the election day is coming up, and they've got to make sure that everyone has the wrong impression about everything. Wrong impression about everything. Barack Obama is going to hit the campaign trail. I think I mentioned this a week ago or 2 weeks ago, that since nobody's interested in Kamala, they should bring out the only Democrat that Democrats still like, and that's Barack Obama. He hates America. He warned us that we should all learn to speak Spanish. Now we know why. We should teach our children to speak Spanish. That's what he told us. He also promised or threatened, depending on your perspective, the fundamental transformation of America, which is what Democrats voted to destroy the world, because they're not liberals, they're the left, aren't they?
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
And the crowd goes wild. They all cheer. They can't get enough of it. Yeah, completely wreck the place. Let's turn it into a haven for Venezuelan prison gangs. And, you know, don't lock your daughters up. Just let them go, because what are you going to do? Isn't that amazing? Yes, sir. And, by the way, Biden has lawyers and Obama has lawyers. And Obama's lawyers and Biden's lawyers have successfully blocked the release of Biden and Biden-Obama records until after the election. Now, this is kind of an amazing story. They'd be potentially damaging to Joe Biden, who's not running for president last time I looked. But who knows what's going to happen next? They might change it up on us again, huh? Remarkable stuff. Yeah, they're blocking the release of in the name of transparency, they're blocking the release of documents. Yes, sir. Yeah, and the networks, the Media Research Center and Newsbusters, the networks refuse to cover the possible Doug Emhoff bombshell claim that he slapped this woman who he was dating, wink, wink, at the Cannes Film Festival in France, you know. Remarkable stuff. Who's done more media interviews? And I think you know the answer. Why does the media hate the people that maybe Republicans should stop doing interviews and then the Democrats would want to give them a tongue bath? What do you think? Maybe. Maybe. A bit of an update on Israel and the world. Women in sports, you know, ladies, sports. Got a bit. And the port strike, of course, the port strike kind of ended, sort of ended. The shakedown, the gun to the head appears to have worked. And we are at 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant, the Chris Plant Show.
Common knowledge that after age 30, our metabolism changes. We have less energy and gain weight easier. There's a way to feel better, not in years or months, but sometimes in just days.
I'm Chuck Norris. I tried everything. Working with a team of health experts, we came up with Morning Kick. Morning Kick is a revolutionary new formula that combines all my favorite supplements into one daily drink.
Morning Kick has probiotics to help you lose weight, prebiotics for digestion, superfoods for muscles and joints, and powerful anti-aging supplements. It'll help you feel youthful, energized, and helps manage stress.
I look and feel better than I have in years.
Go to roundhouseprovisions.com, use code COMBO, or text COMBO to 511-511 and claim 40% off. Roundhouseprovisions.com, code COMBO.
Every purchase comes with our 90-day money-back guarantee. You could be feeling these changes within just a couple of days.
Text COMBO to 511-511.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Message and data rates may apply. Paid for by Roundhouse Provisions.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter, from plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality, certified pros at Angie.com.
1 in 4 Americans have a disability. I'm one of them. I'm also a working mom who cares deeply about making sure every child with a disability thrives by getting their access needs met. We've got a trusted ally by our side. Easter Seals provides children and families the foundation for lifelong success through early learning programs, skills training, and prep for college and career. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours. Join us at EasterSeals.com.
President Trump says Newsmax is terrific. Mike Huckabee says he's tuning in like millions of Americans. Newsmax is now the fastest-growing cable news channel in America. Watch Newsmax on cable, streaming, or on the free Newsmax app. And Newsmax has announced it plans to go IPO soon. For a limited time, eligible investors can even buy preferred shares in Newsmax, and they come with a 7% dividend. Get the details about Newsmax's planned IPO and shares. Just go to NewsmaxInvest.com. Forbes says Newsmax is a news powerhouse. Get Newsmax shares. You can even buy shares with a credit card at NewsmaxInvest.com. Whenever making an investment decision, you should consult your attorney or financial advisor. And investors are responsible for conducting their own due diligence regarding investments and for all tax and other risks and obligations. Don't miss out. Find out more at NewsmaxInvest.com today.
This summer, the Games will bring us together to celebrate our nation's athletes, their sacrifices, resilience, and unwavering passion. Because at the U.S. Center for Safe Sport, we believe athletes are defined by their journey, not the medals they win. And creating a safer stage for all levels of competition is our priority, from the practice fields in your town to the podium in Paris. Join the movement to end abuse at uscenterforsafesport.org.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Former CIA officer Jason Hansen here. As someone who's dedicated my life to protecting people, I know the importance of guarding what matters most. Right now, with global instability and the dollar's declining value, that means securing your financial assets with gold. For me, I trust Advantage Gold with my own investments. Give them a call at 800-900-8000 for a 100% free gold guide. Again, call Advantage Gold now at 800-900-8000 today.
Paid for by Advantage Gold. Performance may vary. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Always consult your financial and tax professional.
We have this crazy congresswoman for you, too. She with lunatic fake journalists. Oh, no, if Trump becomes president, the FBI is going to show up at your front door for a pre-dawn raid with a CNN camera crew in tow and drag you away to a gulag. Have you renewed your passport in case you have to flee the country? This is literally the discussion they're having at NBC News. But before we get to her, let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Jeff calling from Hagerstown, Maryland. Jeffrey, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, good morning, Chris. You're talking about Emhoff earlier being the first, second, then he wants to be the first, whatever. Have you ever noticed how the woke and the left, they just love a first? You got KJB in there. She's the first. Rachel Levin is certainly one of the first. And then you got, you know, Kamala, she's the ultimate first. And it's like this monumental thing with them, how just like minuscule it is, but this whole thing about it, oh, we did it first, or it's the first, is just, I don't know, man. What do you think?
Barack Obama, let's not forget Barack Obama, who's going to now hit the campaign trail for Kamala Harris because nobody's interested in her. They were the first people to fire on Fort Sumter and start the first Civil War, as it's now called. And, you know, they were the first ones to fight for slavery, to protect slavery. They were the first ones to fight for decades to keep women from getting the vote, which the Democrat Party successfully did for a great many years, fighting against that. They, they're the first ones to do all kinds of stuff. Suicide attacks in the United States against police. There have been at least five of those perpetrated by the Democrats. They have, I remember when the first Democrat self-immolated a couple of years ago on the steps of the Supreme Court. It was on Earth Day. I remember it well. And he was upset that people were putting smoke in the air. So he doused himself in gasoline and set himself on fire. That was the first. But there have been, at least three more that have self-immolated. That's and they're all Democrats. One self-immolated outside President Trump's trial in New York. Was that the non-disclosure agreement trial? Was it that one? Because, you know, Doug Emhoff, he got a non-disclosure agreement for the nanny that he knocked up. See what I'm saying?
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, this is Carl in Dubai. Looking for a staycay or a getaway close to home? Well, the best houseboat rentals are happening right now in September and October at Holiday Harbor.
And the off-season rates at Holiday Harbor are amazing deals. And the lake is a perfect 78 degrees. For more information, go to lakeshasta.com or call 530-238-2383.
Join us as we celebrate a milestone in American history, the 249th birthday of the United States Marine Corps. Mark your calendars for November 10th at the Wind River Event Center, where everyone is invited to honor the Marines in style. The celebration kicks off with a march to colors featuring the Jefferson Pipes and Drums, as we pay tribute to our oldest and youngest Marines. This unforgettable evening includes a delicious dinner, birthday cake, and dancing. Tickets are just $45, and they're going fast, so secure yours. Visit ShastaMarines.com. That's ShastaMarines.com. Don't miss out on this special event. Tickets are just $45, and they're going fast, so secure yours. Visit ShastaMarines.com. Again, that's ShastaMarines.com. Don't miss out on this special event. We can't wait to celebrate with you on November 10th at the Wind River Event Center. See you there.
Smoke and sap, dirt and grime, leaves and pollen, and even bugs. Just a few things that can possibly damage your vehicle's paint over time, causing it to pit, fade, and oxidize, basically ruining your paint job. Quick and Clean Car Wash can help. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash also offers car wash packages. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
John Cruz here with America Outdoors Radio. Be sure to tune in this weekend and catch the latest in fishing, hunting, conservation, and destinations. If you love spending time in the field or on the water or in the woods, you're going to love this show. It's America Outdoors Radio, the fastest growing outdoors radio show in the nation. Tune in Saturdays from noon to 1 p.m. on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio.
The Ramsey Show.
Focusing is the number one key to becoming debt-free. It is not a math problem as much as it is an emotional decision and this incredible focus.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more. Right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, has teamed up with the Flag Center and are giving you a chance to win an American flag. And there are two ways to qualify to win a beautiful, high-quality American flag by Annan. We will be giving them away every Friday morning at 8:15. Now, the first way to qualify is listen weekdays between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio. And they're going to let you know when to call in to qualify at 530-605-4566. And the second way to qualify, check out our Facebook page. Look for the American flag and type your name in the comments. Then, every Friday morning at 8:15, we will draw a winner of a beautiful American flag from the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive and your friends here at KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
But join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
It's time again for the Majestic Stillwater Powwow, October 4th through 6th, at the Reading Rodeo Grounds, with free admission for all ages. See the return of the beautiful dancers, the feel of the powerful drummers. Learn and experience firsthand the culture of the Native American people. Proudly brought to you by the Reading Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow, October 4th through 6th, at the Reading Rodeo Grounds. For information, call 530-225-8979 or visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by the Potter family, this station, and other proud sponsors.
Simpson University is having their annual golf classic.
This is a fundraiser for Simpson Athletics, October 11th at the Riverview Golf Course at 4200 Bocelli Lane. The Simpson University Golf Classic includes a tri-tip lunch, Nike polo, a golf hat, Pro V1 golf balls, and much more. The event also features a silent auction with a shotgun start at 8 a.m. Contact Rob Harley at 417-459-7297 or email rharley@simpsonu.edu.
Who she lives with now. Now we know more about the guy that she lives with. So now we should all be concerned about her safety now that we know more about her loving husband. It might explain her, Michael, what's her freaky, what's her, you know, Kamala's stepdaughter and Doug Emhoff's daughter. She's got scurvy or something. Doesn't she have scurvy? And she apparently she thinks treatment for scurvy is tattoos. L or Ella Emhoff, yeah, that, and she's a highfalutin fashion model somewhere. I don't know, at the Bergen-Belsen school, something like that. Completely crazy, but Doug, you called in and you were talking to Jasmine, and you said because this surfaced yesterday. I actually had it yesterday, and we almost said it before the end of the radio show yesterday, but I didn't. But you called in talking to Jasmine. You said that there's about Doug Emhoff. What'd you say? I didn't want to take your joke because it was up on the big board. But about Doug Emhoff, you had something you wanted to say. You've forgotten it, haven't you?
No, you kept saying Doug. Oh, okay, you are. Oh, so for Doug, if he's not knocking them up, he's knocking them out.
See, if he's not knocking them up, he's knocking them out. That's right. Knocking them up, knocking them down. He's knocking up the nanny.
It's the new masculinity.
Hey, wait a minute. Masculinity can be toxic if you're hanging out with Doug Emhoff. But I got to tell you, you know, he said yesterday, somebody put out a tweet saying Doug Emhoff denies smacking that woman real hard at the Cannes Film Festival in front of everybody and all the witnesses.
He smacked her enough, just enough.
It is truly amazing what the Democrats get away with. And, you know, Hack, the reason they get away with it is because the news media, such as it is so profoundly corrupt. This would be a gigantic story if he just had an R after his name instead of a D. It would be a huge story. And they wouldn't accept, you know, they'd reignite Pound Me Too, the whole Pound Me Too movement, which the Democrats created because they wanted to lynch a Trump nominee to the Supreme Court, right? That's what that was all about. And there was no supporting evidence of any kind. There weren't three witnesses. There are three witnesses to the Doug Emhoff smacking the woman who's still anonymous thus far at the Cannes Film Festival. And they've got the names of the witnesses and they're friends of the lady that was smacked. And when it comes to Brett Kavanaugh, everybody that was at the party said nothing happened, nothing like that happened. And or she wasn't even there and she didn't know what year it was. And she couldn't remember whose house it was at, and her own family didn't back her up, and there was nothing to support, nothing whatsoever to support the Brett Kavanaugh accusation by that crazy woman who has to have two front doors in her house, otherwise she has panic attacks or something, and she won't fly in airplanes unless you send a private jet for her, then she's happy to fly in airplanes. So they had nothing to support that. There's plenty to support this Doug Emhoff story. And the news media just buries it. And remember what they did with the Brett Kavanaugh phony baloney accuser. They had congressional hearings. And as I said yesterday, Hack, I really think that the Republicans should open up an investigation, a congressional investigation, into the behavior of Doug Emhoff, who thinks he's going to become the first gentleman. And again, we're going to have to call him, as you pointed out, we're going to have to call him something else, First Mac Daddy. We'll call him something because gentleman would be the wrong word. That's a fact.
Temp of the year. Him and Hunter, they should go into business together. I don't know, doing something, whatever. Hey, I do. Can I ask you one question? Going back to the hurricane thing. So they're giving $750 to everybody. So with the $700 that Joe Biden gave the people of Maui, they rebuilt their entire homes, right? Because we don't hear anything about Maui or East Palestine anymore.
Right.
So all that's been resolved?
Yeah, it's been resolved because our news media has checked out, and they're not legitimate, and that's why you know, we need talk radio and Newsmax, and we need people that are out to tell the truth, because CNN is they're doing their fake.
If the people were suffering, the media would be covering it, bringing it to our attention, wouldn't they?
Right.
Hashtag sarcasm. Okay.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Democracy dies in darkness. Laugh out loud.
Right.
Okay. I've taken enough of your time. I'll let you go to the next caller. Thanks.
Thanks. Thanks, Hack. That's great. This is Doug Hemhoff. When he's not knocking them up, he's knocking them down. See, that's the I think Hack said knocking them out, but knocking them up and down. See, that the symmetry. I think the semantic symmetry works better. When he's not knocking them up, he's knocking them down. And when you're a Democrat, that's just a non-story. And they'll, I was going to say that the media is calling it a conspiracy theory, but that's impossible because they haven't mentioned it. You can't call it a conspiracy theory if it doesn't come up.
Your role has reshaped the perception of masculinity.
Wow, isn't it amazing? Just the tongue bath. You think Doug Emhoff, that was Jen Psaki. She had been a spokesmodel at the Biden White House, and they gave her $1 million job in her own show at MSDNC so she could ask probing questions. Well, something probing going on there, but that's another discussion. And we'll get to as much as we can, because they always give me more than 3 hours' worth of material. Let's go to soundbite number 20. I believe it's soundbite number 20. Let's go there. It's back to MSDNC, because this is really the heart and soul of the Democratic Party today. Always keeping in mind that the Democratic Party isn't. The Democratic Party isn't. But they've got a woman named Nicole Wallace. She used to be a John McCain Republican kind of person, and they gave her a job for a lot of money, and now she's a hardcore Bernie Sanders Democrat, and which means socialist, Bolshevik, anti-American, anti-capitalist, pro-death, anti-life, open borders, pro-gang members, but not American gang members. They're only pro... I think they're still anti-American gang members, but they're pro-Venezuelan gang members and Cuban gang members and gang members from anywhere except here. Let's go to Nicole Wallace, because she's talking to a congresswoman. Amazingly, this woman is a member of Congress. Her name is Zoe Lofgren, and Zoe Lofgren is... not very bright. I'm going to try to be polite and generous. Not bright at all. Not a bright person. But she was on MSDNC, and she was on the January 6th committee. Remember January 6th? It was a dust up for about 2 hours. Didn't really, and you know, one woman was shot and killed while unarmed for the alleged crime of trespassing, And the news media was happy about that. They like it when women are gunned down by the police, because they don't like people. You know what is? I know what I'm talking about here. These ridiculous people, they are nuts. I think nuts might be the thing. Like that woman, Olivia Nutzi. Olivia Nutzi. She N-U-Z-Z-I. That's Nutzi, right? The Zoe Lofgren. She's a left-wing radical from the Santa Clara Valley in California, and she's not on the side of the United States of America at all. She's a victim. They love nothing more than being a victim, because, you know, it's the most exalted status available to Democrats today. So Nicole Wallace used to be a fake Republican. Now she's a fake journalist, and she naturally works at MSDNC. And Zoe Lofgren is on, and the January 6th committee. See, if Donald Trump wins, then there are going to be boxcars and rail spurs and detainment camps, just like the Democrats created for the Japanese Americans during World War II. And a lot of American citizens caught up in Franklin Delano Roosevelt's sweep up of Japanese and Japanese Americans, threw them all in concentration camps. And he's applauded for that as a liberal. That's liberalism. All right. So here is, I digress. So here's Nicole Wallace talking to Zoe Lofgren about her becoming a victim because Donald Trump becomes president. She's probably in danger.
Congresswoman, I want to start with you because you and the other members of the January 6th Select Committee have been publicly targeted or threatened or warned
that
Trump is coming for you.
No, you haven't.
I wonder, as the polls appear pretty close, If you've done anything to prepare for that, if you've retained counsel or updated your passport, or if you're doing anything differently.
Updated your passport. Maybe got a gun, maybe a suicide vest. Maybe you've got a suicide vest with a detonator that comes down your sleeve. So when the FBI shows up in a pre-dawn raid and treats you like you're a Catholic woman praying outside an abortion clinic, you'll be able to detonate your suicide vest and kill everyone within a 500-meter range. They like to use meters because everything un-American is what they're about. Isn't that amazing? So that's a great question, isn't it, by Nicole Wallace? Have you hit refresh on your passport? Because, and what she's implying, of course, is that the congresswoman might flee the country. And based on that exchange, I don't know, we got to see what she says. I'm on pins and needles. But remarkable stuff. You might have to renew your passport because you got to flee the country because Trump could become president and you were on the January 6th committee, which was a kangaroo court. No big deal. And Zoe Lofgren, Congresswoman, California, responded.
No, I haven't.
No.
You know, if you look in the Constitution, there is only one mention of immunity, and that's for members of Congress in their official capacity. We may not be held to answer at any other place.
But wait a minute. Isn't the president immune for in legal cases where he's acting in official capacity? Because Zoe Lofgren doesn't follow the news, and that's not surprising, and neither does Nicole Wallace, because she's an anchorwoman at MSDNC. It went on.
So assuming under a second Trump administration that there would still be a court system and the rule of law, which may not be the valid assumption, there's no way that the members of the January 6th committee could be held to account in any other place for our work on that committee.
Oh, yeah? You just wait and see. wait till the SEAL Team 6 shows up on Capitol Hill, takes you away to Guantanamo Bay, where you're going to be waterboarded, until you admit that the January 6th committee was just a sham, just a scam, just to put on the, first of all, I think she is wrong about the immunity issue. She's probably right about congressional immunity, but there's presidential immunity. They haven't read the Constitution. About 90% of members of Congress have never read the Constitution. Zoe Lofgren is not right. They don't follow the news. They don't. But it did remind us with this ridiculous, if there is a court system, and if there will be rule of law, when Trump wins, he was already president for 4 years. You guys burned city after city, attacked the White House for 3 days, forced the evacuation of the president and the first family because of the violent mob outside. But it reminded us of Michael Beschloss, an award-winning Democrat, liberal, left, rich kid, presidential historian. And he was on MSNBC a couple of years ago, talking about the midterms while President Trump was in the White House, the midterm elections, right, in 2018. And here's what he said.
A historian 50 years from now, if historians are allowed to write in this country,
they
if
love
there are
this.
Still free publishing houses and a free press, which I'm not certain of, but if that is true, a historian will say what was at stake tonight and this week was the fact whether we will be a democracy in the future, whether our children will be arrested and conceivably killed. We're on the edge of a brutal authoritarian system, and it could be a week away.
That's presidential historian Michael Beschloss. He's an embarrassment to, well, to upright male humans. Yeah, but they love this stuff. The congresswoman saying, well, if there's still a court system after Trump is reelected, if there's still the rule of law, sure, that's what's going on. Well, Michael Beschloss is saying, if the Republicans win the midterms, your children may be arrested and they may be killed by the state because Republicans. And then they aborted 1 million babies and harvested their organs the following year. No sense of irony, these people.
So assuming under a second Trump administration that there would still be a court system and the rule of law, which may not be the valid assumption.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Common knowledge that after age 30, our metabolism changes. We have less energy and gain weight easier. There's a way to feel better, not in years or months, but sometimes in just days.
I'm Chuck Norris. I tried everything. Working with a team of health experts, we came up with Morning Kick. Morning Kick is a revolutionary new formula that combines all my favorite supplements into one daily drink.
Morning Kick has probiotics to help you lose weight, prebiotics for digestion, superfoods for muscles and joints, and powerful anti-aging supplements. It'll help you feel youthful, energized, and helps manage stress.
I look and feel better than I have in years.
Go to RoundhouseProvisions.com, use code COMBO, or text COMBO to 511-511 and claim 40% off. RoundhouseProvisions.com, code COMBO.
Every purchase comes with our 90-day money-back guarantee. You could be feeling these changes within just a couple of days.
Text COMBO to 511-511.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Message and data rates may apply. Paid for by Roundhouse Provisions.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money. But if you could get both, why not? Especially when it comes to health care, and that is MediShare. You get both. Many families save $500 a month with MediShare, and that's huge. But it's also true that people wind up way more satisfied, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. That's because MediShare works. It has for more than 30 years. It's a community of Christians who have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth. They love the huge PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price in 2 minutes. Here's the number. Just call 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE, 855-51-BIBLE.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt?
I owe the IRS $37,000.
Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs that may protect you from IRS collection agencies. They have the power to garnish your wages, put liens on your property, and levy your bank account. Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS.
Civic Tax Relief basically represented me against the IRS, and by the time everything was completed, I didn't owe the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone who has a tax problem to contact Civic Tax Relief.
For free information, call 800-841-0908, 800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now, 800-841-0908. That's 800-841-0908.
Hey, life doesn't stop when cancer starts. After diagnosis, treatment is vital. But for some, just getting there through appointments, chemo, or radiation is a major challenge. You can change that. Volunteer to give rides with the American Cancer Society Road to Recovery Program. Driving for a few hours of your day can make a life-saving difference for someone with cancer. Visit cancer.org/drive to learn more.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, DebtLew is here for you. With DebtLew's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at DebtLew are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There is a tremendous price war in the term life industry. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man aged 45, non-smoker, can get $1 million of coverage for $75 per month, level rate for 10 years. Or a man aged 50, non-smoker, can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of $110, level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At TermBusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-smoker rate class. Exam required to qualify.
was at stake tonight and this week was the fact whether we will be a democracy in the future, whether our children will be arrested and conceivably killed.
Probably killed. I'd just skip the arrest part, wouldn't you? Bring in the helicopter gunships, the AC-130 gunships, and light it up. Also, was Nicole Wallace in recommending that Congresswoman Zoe Lofgren, is you getting your passport in order? Sounds like Nicole Wallace is recommending that the Congresswoman break the law by fleeing the country while she's under legal threat, right? Legal jeopardy. Get your passport ready, flee the country. These are differently abled people, aren't they? Let's grab another phone call, Mike. Let's go to Michael calling from Woodbridge, Virginia. Miguel, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Chris, I have to take you to task. I think you're missing one here.
Uh-oh.
Michael Beschloss was 100% correct. 4 years ago, democracy was on the ballot, and guess what? We lost it. We lost our democratic republic 4 years ago. And he's correct. 46 years from now, when historians are writing the books, if Kamala Harris wins this round, they will look back and they will say that 2020 was when we lost it. They will look back and they will figure out all the body mass or the body count and the mass graves and all this other stuff. Michael Beschloss is not a presidential historian. He is a presidential hysterian. And you have to always put it in the prism of projection. Whatever the hell the left is accusing you of, get used to it. That's what they're doing. Zoe Lofgren is talking about immunity. Stop and realize the J6 committee concealed exculpatory video evidence for 2.5 years while American citizens sat in a D.C. jail without trial or bail.
You are correct. You're 100%. You're a real danger to the Democrat Party because you're paying attention.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.